Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Without the fame, I'ma still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV. We in the rock or we'll be VIP.
Sharp Cannon Kodak, Top Coat Cashmere, Will Camo Kojak, wrist and neck, drip drop, clip pop, hold that, grown man, hand up, stand up, know that, wasn't always rosé, click at, Viva, Miami for the weekend, eating, she my, pull up, valet park car, be my, remember being flat broke till I had Enoch, had to get my change up, change up, like a flat tire side of the road, the right time with the right grind, climbing the roads, rock diamonds that glow, ice blinding the shows, heard lights to slide in the hole, it's my way or the highway, iron the toe. Yes, I'm a pro, press iron the foes. Talking what I walk, talk, never the foe, yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Chick like who him, in the low bubble, trouble with the low brim, running no huddle, double the score, Tom Brady, Mercedes, settle the floor, won't settle with all, middle finger to loss, parquet, bread and butter, but I hunger for more, look closer, I'm the one you tried to ignore, mimosas, what I said, starting my mom, while these other niggas playing cute, playing the show, be front, she can front if she want, trust. Cause never will I change my course or rearrange my thoughts to be arranged in court. For no dame, it's public. I'm no lame, know how to get dough, get low, the flow flame. My desire's fire, saliva, propane. Q, turn it up, flick, the bitch is always the same.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Big Chris Wallace, any night, take flight, St. Thomas, first class recliner, wine and empanadas, stay sky high, call a frequent flyer mileage, touchdown land, couple grand like Cuba, chick shirt cooler, something like Zamunda, blue water, white sand, Rona's in the cooler, cute Mr. Dos Equis, come correctly, chilling crushed linen, mocha loafers, Giuseppe's, huh, they told me that it can't be done, so why I'm feeling like a champion, thought you was fancy, huh, guess you drew like Nancy Dunn, shed a tip for every lap he run, real rap, cause on track, he L Cappy son. Hand out, can't hand you none. Guess it happens. Lights, camera, action. One, deuces.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
All right. Good evening, Dons and Divas. I'm your host, Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this will be possible. Now, last weekend, we hit y'all with a repeat show, Blast from the Past, so I hope y'all checked it out and enjoyed it. This weekend, we have a spectacular show for y'all. We have Jeff Cook with the GQ General Question. Then we have up-and-coming artist Trini in the building, and we will be playing his smasher single, Whitney, and finding out what's his next step in the music industry. After Trini, we have big-time promoter Flowway in the palace, letting us know what's going on with him in the promotional field. Then for the last part of our segment, we have the real, untamed talent, letting us know what's going on with him and his business tactics. He's an actor, an author, a comedian, and a poet. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with Jeff Cook and the GQ General Question. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Ricky Rose. There's something special right here. Excuse the marijuana. Just trying to enjoy myself. We got some gangsters in the house too. Come on.
Dons and Divas, welcome back. And with me right now, I have Jeff Cook. Jeff, welcome to the show. Jeff, what's
Thank
going on?
Thank you for having me, Rich. Everything is lovely here in sunny Las Vegas.
Wow, wow. So you're doing it up out there, huh?
Yeah, we living the life.
I feel you. I feel you. Out here, it's kind of like rough. But anyway, we're going to get into what's going on with you right now. You know, I really want to thank you for taking the time out to join us on the GQ Palace General Question. You know, would you like to tell listeners a little? No problem. Would you like to tell listeners a little something about yourself?
Well, I spent about 20 years in the music industry. I was kind of mentored by guys like Vincent Davis, who was Keith Sweat's manager, Andre Harrell, and I have to give a lot of credit to Sherry Shepherd and Ted Currier back in the for kind of getting me building or helping me build a foundation. So those three people, And through the time, I had been writing songs and producing artists, and I think I'm best at developing an act. So that's my story in a nutshell.
Oh, okay. So you're in the music industry also. So we got to get you on to talk about that, too.
You know, anytime.
We got to have you on to talk about that. Now, what's your topic for this evening?
What I wanted to talk about is this. I want to talk about the impact hip-hop has had on society. And then right off the back, I want to say, my take is hip-hop has done more to bring different cultures together than any civil rights movement, anything else I've seen in my lifetime. So I want to talk about that impact and what our listeners out there feel about it and the responsibility that the hip-hop artists now have, being that they have such power.
Now, let me ask you, what made you choose that specific topic to discuss this evening?
Well, mainly because, you know, I grew up in the Bronx, and I was one of the kids bringing the records to the parks when the guys started DJing, and the message was a lot different in that time. We didn't know what it was going to become, but hip-hop has kind of gotten away from that, so I kind of wanted to just talk about that a little bit and see where other people, how other people felt about it.
Okay. All right, Dons and Divas, phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to talk to Jeff, to give your point of view on his topic. I'll stay on the line to hear his show. So mainly, it's like what you're saying, Jeff, is you feel like the industry, how it is now, is nothing like it was back then.
It isn't. I really think it's gone away, the hip-hop industry. And not just the hip-hop industry. Technology has changed the industry and impacted the industry drastically as well. So it's a lot different.
So do you feel like it's taking a real bad toll on the community of, you know, like the newer generation of hip-hop? Or do you feel like it's like in a standoff to, like, because do you feel like, let me ask you this, do you feel like at one point it's the gangster rap, or do you feel like it's a materialistic rap?
Well, everything, not just in hip-hop. Hip-hop shouldn't get the complete rap. But I think vanity is the message, even in pop music. Vanity is the message in R&B music. I don't know about country. I don't really listen to country, but I don't know if they're talking about vanity. But that's what I believe it is more than anything. There's a big emphasis on materialism.
Well, we actually have a caller on the line right now, so we're just going to bring that caller in, all right?
Okay, that's fine.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yep, there.
All right, did you hear Jeff's topic for this evening?
Yeah, I heard Jeff's topic. First of all, I want to say thank you, GQ Cox, for having me on. And, Jeff, that's a very good question, man. You hit it on the nose. You know, you're from the era where hip-hop, rap, you know, going to park. And what's happening now, I don't even think this, I don't think hip-hop doesn't exist no more, really. To be honest with you, man. I don't know what these guys are saying. Because back in the days, I'm from the same era we come from. Back in the days,
right,
we had K.O. Grandmaster Flash, you know what I mean? The Nubians and things like that. Well,
right.
When we heard music and we looked at these people going to their jams, you know what I mean? We wanted to be somebody. It was the lyrics and the music influenced us. We seen what they did, we wanted to be that. We took that to a different level in a positive way. That was hip hop. You have hip hop, and now today you have gangster rap. Gangster rap is more like, how many guns I got, how many holes I'm pimping. So, you want to know where is it going today? I'm going to tell you where it's going today. It ain't going really nowhere. You have very few hip-hop artists. Very few hip-hop artists.
So, Joe, mainly you feel like even the materialistic rap that's going on, you feel like that's like a bad influence on the new generation also.
Exactly. Without doubt, in my opinion. Without doubt, because, again, may I remind y'all, back in the 80s and stuff, when we see these guys, I mean, we had the sports jacket on with a shirt and jeans, you know, sneakers and all that. We just turned out to dress. But our parents were still, you know, according was up to date. Now, as time progressed, every change from rap with up to hip hop, you start seeing artists wearing the hands down, showing the underwear, the cigarette, you know what I mean, and behind's like, where are we going with this? The music changed, the people changed. That's what happened.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
So y'all don't feel like they're just trying to market it to get the money? Because nowadays, you think about it, a lot of artists ain't into it because, you know, I'm not going to say all artists, but some of them, they don't have the love for music. They're in it for the money.
Yeah.
For the you understand? Yeah. Exactly. So you don't feel like they're trying to just do like a trend for themselves to get, you know, the younger generation involved in hip-hop?
Well, it's incredibly competitive now, and they measure themselves about by how much money they're getting, and not even how much money they're getting, but just how much money does it look like I'm getting. A lot of it is a facade, so really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hello. We just lost Jeff Cook at the moment. So, Joe. So what I want to do, I want to get into it with you right now until we get Jeff back on the line. All right. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, that's all right with me. Yo, so
now,
I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Ask the question, Rich.
Okay, so
I remember hearing Missy Elliott. She gave an interview, and she was like explaining, giving a breakdown of the music industry and the videos and things like that. And so did TLC. They broke it down. You know, I mean, that's why they went bankrupt. Now, Missy Elliott broke it down like this. I'm gonna show you short, simple. The things you see in her video go to everybody else's video. It's like the jewelry and things. All that stuff was rented. Our stuff is not rented.
Oh, yeah.
It's rented stuff. You have very few artists, but more than a few artists today, when you look at a video, and them cars, you see it real. It's really there. It's happening. Little Wayne, Birdman, those heads are all very few. So they front, like Jeff said, they front. How much money? They sell much money, they think they have.
Okay, we got you back. All right, Jeff. So,
yeah, I'm back.
So let me ask you. The messages that artists was giving back then, you don't feel there's no artist out here at the moment delivering that message to these young youths about what it was back then?
Well, Rich, what I said when I got cut off was that I want to commend the artists that still take that responsibility serious. There are some artists out there who are talking about things that are positive, and I have to commend them. Also, what I want to say is hip-hop has done a lot for society in terms of bringing people of all colors and cultural backgrounds together. No civil rights leader was ever able to do what hip-hop has done. And with that is there's power in that. And there's also, to me, a huge responsibility. And that's what this is really about. Are these guys being responsible to the people who are supporting them? Or is it all about them?
Well, mainly, I think for some artists, it is about them. But then you got some artists, I think, they just doing a forte of trying to get the young youth to get their music. Because nowadays, if you think about it, everybody's downloading music. Nobody's even buying CDs no more.
Yes, that's how technology has impacted the whole industry.
And see, that make it bad for the artists that's trying to really get out there.
Yeah,
you know
right.
What I mean?
You're right.
And what's bad about it, see, then you got a lot of record labels now that's not making the money because you got the artists that's really putting their stuff on iTunes to get their own money.
Right. And it's easier to have your own label these days.
Exactly. But see, that's where the forte come in with the distribution and everything.
Right.
Now, me personally, this younger generation, I feel some of them is taking heed to some of the music that the artist is singing, you know, like Weezy. He the one that brought out, to me, the pants sagging.
Right.
You understand? So
right.
Everybody follows mm-hmm. that forte.
But not just yeah. his pants and his appearance, but his whole message is about me and forget everybody else. I'm this and I'm that, and I got money. And you know, I don't know what kind of value there is in that.
Mm. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, finish. Go ahead, finish, Jeff.
I say, I just believe it's promoting selfishness.
Oh, okay. So that's okay. Okay. I'm going to get to you on that question. We have another caller. We're going to bring them on real fast.
Good.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You have Jeff on the line. Did you have a topic for this evening?
Yes, I did.
And what's your point of view on it?
Me personally, I feel sorry for the youth because with the music that's coming out right about now and that has been coming out, it's promoting a lot of sex. And even, you know, depending on which song you listen to, sex is selling because you have the half-naked women that's out there that's dancing on the videos. And then you got them with the throwing money down, you got the fancy cars and stuff like that. So
yep.
to me, it has a major impact on our community and on society in general because this is what they're promoting. And, of course, when the kids are young, they're looking at it like, all right, well, I want that car. You know, I want that Maserati. You know, I want
right.
that Ferrari. They're saying they want that, and they don't understand.
And I want
10
girls instead of one good one.
You know, they don't see the value of the dollar. You know, they're not understanding it. Only thing they see is, okay, if I can be a rapper, you know, or I can be some type of hip-hop artist, or if I can just do a video and I'm promoting sex and I got nice women on there and this, that, and the other, and I'm throwing money around, people automatically think that's what it's about. And I feel sorry because if this is what's going to be leading our future, it's sad. You know, it's really sad. What do we have to look forward to once we get older? And our kids and the generation right now is going to be, you know, running the world. What do we have to look forward to? You know, sexy women and money and fancy cars? You know, so
I agree with you 100%.
You know, I feel bad about it. Because, and to me, it's like for them to think that it's okay is crazy. That's crazy on so many levels.
But you do have some artists, I believe, that's trying to actually make a point. You know,
right.
me
but
personally.
You can get your point across. You know, I'm not saying all artists, you know, I'm just saying some of them. But you can get your point across without the fancy money, you know, without the fancy cars, without all the money, you know, thrown around. 9 times out of 10, is it really your money? 9 times out of 10, is it really your car? You know, the kids don't notice. Only thing they see is, okay, well, this one came out with this video, and look at the car, and look at the girl. And even with the songs that they're making, they're making songs where young kids are dancing off these songs, and it's sexual. You know, it's very sexual.
Right.
You know, there has to be more to the music than, you know, learning how to shake your butt and move your hips. There's more to it than that. So,
well, on
right.
that point, go ahead, Jeff.
I'm just thinking how that whole atmosphere and environment has already been established in our culture. So how do we get young children to accept something new now? Because how do we teach them something different from that? Because like the caller is saying, if not, those are the kids that's going to be running the future. And what kind of future can we have with that situation? So there's got to be ways where we can kind of turn that around.
Yeah, but see, who's that, Joe? You saying something, Joe?
Yeah, I think I have an answer for that. I think one of the ways is that I believe that the hip-hop industry has like a board or a committee where rappers come together, or if they don't, they should, and talk about what's going on these days and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
secondly, the three things. Secondly, is that I just went to an open mic just recently, so you guys know what I'm talking about, right? And every guy that stood on that stage, right, was talking about how that girl was taking head, how they were swallowing, or man talking about smacking your mama and all that. Okay, where that come from? They heard this before, and, you know, so now they went in the studio, like, oh, that's really cool. And everybody's saying that? Oh, I'm going to do that. Lastly, is that gospel has tried to take hip-hop to a different level to try to get the younger audience to listen. That's
right,
what they did.
Right.
Right, they did it. So now us, the hip-hop community, slash rap community, that works for something like that, if we can take, look at what they did and bring all these rappers together, listen, they can do it, and they got young people to listen, why can't we do it right now? We're strong.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's a lot of power in hip-hop. There's a lot of power there, and it's up to the individuals not there's guys, like we said, there's guys that's sending out responsible messages, but then there's guys, the most popular ones are the ones who are leading the kids in the wrong direction, and they have to see it, and they have to kind of be the voices that bring these kids back in.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, PJ, you know, he's from Harlem. You know what it is. He's coming out, you know, rapping with this dude, rapping with that dude, talking about how much jewelry you got and your girl is and that.
Yeah.
Now he's Ciroc. You know what I mean? Everybody, oh, word Ciroc. And now they drinking Ciroc. That's how they go.
Yeah.
Follow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we still need discussion like this. Like you mentioned, they need to get together within themselves, within their community of hip-hop artists, and they need to understand how powerful what they are doing is.
Yeah, but you see, some artists just have a trance, like a trance on this younger generation. Because the trance is so strong on them that what they saying the young generation is going to do. Because you actually have the pioneers still trying to, you know, go out and do what they could do. But it's the older crowd that's involved with
right.
the pioneers.
And they're not connected to the kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know,
kids don't even know that.
But they don't even
kids
think,
don't even know.
I mean, they don't even stand a chance when you think about it, though, because what's being sold right now, some of the music that's being sold right now is, the beat is different, you know. Even some of the artists are taking the beat from an old school song and they're making it their own at this point.
Yeah.
And as long as the beat is catchy, they could throw somebody on there dancing, they could have their pants sagging with the boxers showing and everything, and they think that that's okay. You know, my thing is, I think that first, before you even open your mouth and you start rapping anything or singing anything, look at your appearance first. You know, look at your appearance, because what you're presenting to these young kids, they're following you. You know, I don't know how many years the pants have been sagging and the boxers are showing. It's so tacky, it's ridiculous. So when you go see somebody perform, first thing I want to say is, can you please pull up your pants? Like, you can deliver your message with your pants up on your hips with your belt on. You know, you don't have to have your pants sagging underneath your butt cheeks so I can see your boxers. So I think that it's, when I'm talking about sex being able to be sold, I'm saying sex from the men and sex from the women, you know, because there's some women that, okay, good, you know, I can buy this, you know, this is what they look like. Or if they take a picture and it's showing their chest, you can sell records without all the sexual content to it, the sexual lyrics. If they're true artists, to me, you should be able to fit any type of rhyme at any type of time and make any video that you want professional. To me, that's very unprofessional. You know, when you have the pants sagging, and if your shirt's off and you got the big old dookie chain on, I mean, come on. And the kids, they're repeating that. They're repeating taking my shirt off, my pants sagging down, you can see my boxers. It's like, come on, where does that start from? You know, do you think that the pants sagging,
where it started was in the prisons.
Showing?
It started in the prisons where the inmates weren't able to use belts. So that's where they're getting. That right there is the problem. They're taking styles from prisoners and then bringing it out to the street like it's okay.
Right. But you see, and it's not.
But you see, that's what's bad.
And then the cops drive around and look for a guy. The description of the robber was a guy with his pants down. They can pull anybody over because all of you guys got your pants down.
Exactly. I definitely
It's a problem. It's a major problem with the way these guys are dressing and the images that they're giving these kids. It's a major problem. I would love to really find some solutions because,
But see, that's the bad part.
Growing up in this time.
There is no solution because society, you know, you got to also think about the way it is in society also. You understand? One person is going to follow the next, you know, and that's what's bad about, you know, society right now with a lot of the younger generation, because they're following what the next person is doing instead of taking key to their own business and their own mind.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and that's what's bad about the whole thing. So that's why it'll be so hard for somebody like a pioneer, you know, like I say, Grandmaster Cash, you know, JDL, one of them, to actually bring out something to catch the click of the new generation, because they like to give out messages. You know, they like to post those messages in their songs to try to get the organization in a better atmosphere than what it is now. But the younger generation is not going to follow that.
Well, you mentioned something right now. You just said that it's about the individual kids. And maybe it's not the hip-hop artists that got to teach them something different. Maybe it's in schools. Maybe it's your parents. You know what I mean? And parents are even caught up in it. I see grown men with their pants down. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Oh, that is so – when I see it, I just look like this grown man actually have his pants hanging off his butt like he's 16 years old.
Right.
He couldn't understand.
So they have to be held accountable just like everybody else. The parents have to be able to tell the child, hey, look, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but here's another thing. Let me show you this. Let me show you the way we used to dress. Or look at the guys from Motown era, how they used to wear ties and look like men.
See, it does start at home. And I think that as parents, I think that we have more power when it comes down to, you know, what our kids wear than most people believe. Because now, if I go to the store and I'm shopping for my kids, I'm going to buy you something that fits. The first time you think you're going to walk out this house with your pants sagging, we're going to have a problem. You know, because one, I'm not condoning it, and I'm not raising my child to dress like that whatsoever. You know, I'm not.
Right.
You have to be able to present yourself appropriately at all times. You know, and if we're going to, it starts at home. If you allow it, the first time your child walks through your house with their pants sagging across their butt or hanging down, then you have to check them on it. That's your responsibility as a parent, you know, to speak to them about it. And I think that that starts when our kids are young. You know, when they're young and they're just starting, you know, to dress and they're getting older and middle school, high school, stuff like that. Regardless of what they might see somebody else do, you know, it's up to us as parents to make sure that our kid doesn't follow the trend, that our kids set the trend, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that comes from a kid that has a better image of self, where he's not looking for someone to validate him. And that's also in the household, where the parent is, you're a miracle, you're a great child, you can do whatever you want, instead of some of the messages these kids get from their parents. I hear parents talking to kids like, you know, you're worthless. So, of course, they're going to look outside the home to validate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another part of it. We have to give these kids a better message from the time they're 6 and 7 years old, not when they're 18. They're not hearing you no more.
Well, can I say something?
Go ahead.
I tell you guys, no lie when I say this, man. God honest truth, man. You talk about the kids and influences. Just about no more than 2 weeks ago, a week on the minimum, right? I've seen this adult walking down the block with his son. The adult had his pants low, no belt, sagging, holding it up while he's walking. He had his son, which looked about probably about 4 years old, walking beside him the same way. I'm like,
are you serious?
I tell you no lie, Stevie. No lie.
Well, that's because a lot of these adults now were fathers at 18, and they're still young and don't get it, man. They grew up when the pants started to fall down.
Exactly. So, see, that's the whole, that's the bad part about the whole thing.
It's a cycle, man.
Yeah, you see, that's what the new generation don't even come to realize. Because everything they're doing now, it was done back then. The music, the dancing and everything, you know, it's all it is going around in a circle. That's mainly all it's doing. And, you know, they're not realizing that. But like you said, it mainly starts in the home.
Yeah, I think that's where the solution's going to come from. Because if you got a guy who's got a net worth of $40 million, $50 million, he doesn't want to hear from somebody else that he needs to be responsible for what he's doing to 50 million kids across the world. He doesn't even want to hear.
Exactly.
Think about it.
He's got to start in the home.
Yeah.
We got to get back to when the whole community used to raise the kids. My next-door neighbor would pop the shit out of me if I walked out of my house with my drawers showing, not just my mom.
But see, that's how it actually was back then. Back then, you could hit your child and hit the next person's child and take them to their parents. You understand?
Yeah, but you can't even hit your own child today.
No. You know, they got so many laws and everything going on. And, you know, and what's bad is your child could get you locked up now.
Yeah, that's right. So how do you do that? Do you do it with just encouragement?
I mean, see, that's the point I'm trying to say, because I don't even think it could be encouragement. You understand? Because regardless of the fact, you know, they're still going to go out and they're going to want to be, how do you say, down with their friends.
Accept it, yeah. Accept it.
You understand? And that's the bad part about it, because they're going to want to be down with their friends, and they're going to want to go out, and they're going to want to do what their friends do. And that's the bad part about the whole thing.
I think that even when it comes down to disciplining your kid, you know, they say, I think one of you guys said that you can't, you know, even hit your kid. You can hit your kid. You just have to know how to hit your kid. You know, I'm just saying, there's a way you can discipline your kids if you choose to hit them, that you can hit them the correct way. There's no law that says you can't hit them. But, I mean, some of these parents nowadays, they're hitting them like they're hitting somebody out in the street. And that's not how you discipline, you know, your child.
No, you're right.
So
you're
you have to make sure that if you discipline them, you discipline them the correct way. You know, and sometimes, I mean, me personally, I can look at my kids a certain way, and they know I'm not playing with you, you know.
Right.
You know what else
is
going to happen. So I think that there's a certain way you have to do it if you choose to do it, you know, that way. But if you choose to do it a different way and you leave a mark or bruise or scratch or something, sure, you're getting in trouble. You know, you are really getting in trouble because that's abuse to them. You know, to us,
a police officer here told me you can hit the kids, but just hit them with your hand, open hand, and not with the belt, stuff like that, and you'll be fine.
Right, but I remember back in the day, my grandma used to have me go pick the switch off the tree and bring it in, and I knew what I was getting.
There.
You know, my uncles, they used to pick up the shoe and use the shoe if that's what they choose to use. So that, to me, nowadays, I'm like, wow, I was abused when I was younger, you know. But in fact, you know, is what they were doing for generation to generation. So that, to me, there's a way that you can discipline, you know, your child. But it definitely starts with, you know, it starts at home and it starts being, you know, young. If you're trying to raise a leader and not a follower, regardless of what society does or says or their friends, you know, you're able to get through to your child depending on the type of communication you have with your child. You know, if your communication is yelling and screaming, oh, you don't stand a chance. You know, if you're going to sit and have a conversation where everyone is listening to each other, you have a better chance with that than yelling and screaming because they're tuning you out. I know I tuned my mother out plenty of days when she thought yelling and screaming was getting across to me. It wasn't. It was making me ignore you.
Right.
You know,
it's got to start from, like, 2 years old even, because a kid understands a whole lot more than you think they do. even at 2 years old. It's gotta be talking and not screaming, and explaining to them why you're saying what you're saying too.
Right.
But see, that's where the bad part come in at. Because even if you hit your child, you could still go out and hit your child, but after they go outside and they deal with the friends, they're going to get to that point where, which is a bad thing. When they get older and you hit them, they're going to hit you back.
Right,
then you
right.
Can do something, but then my thing is, then you didn't do something right. I'm sorry. Because you know what? If you raise your child the correct way, and I have this conversation with my coworkers all the time, is to me personally, if you raise your child the correct way where there's communication and not so much physical, you know, there's physical if that's the last resort. But nowadays, there's so many things, there's so many electronics and stuff that your kids have, you can hurt them in so many ways besides putting your hands on them. But if you choose to put your hands on them, then you have to explain to them why are you putting your hands on them. Because that has a major impact on them in life as they're growing up and relationships they're going to have and communicating with different people. They can't see, okay, well, mommy and daddy, they hit me because I made them upset. Because as they're getting older, they're going to think, if so-and-so makes me upset, I could put my hands on them. You know, to me, the communication has to be so strong and the bond has to be there, you know, with you and your kids. So this way, okay, I'm hitting you and this is the reason why I'm hitting you, you know. You're not just supposed to walk around and hit anybody. But if there comes a day when your child does hit you back, then you know that the hitting is not working, you know. And you can tell when you discipline your child, if you hit that child and that chest pokes up or the fist starts to raise or the hands go on the side with the fist, you know right then and there that the tolerance level is so different where you're going to have to try something else because that child is getting ready to hit you because they think that, I made you upset, and you hit me, so it's okay. So now you're making me upset, and I can hit you.
It sounds like we all agree that the hip-hop artists are not going to do anything about what's going on, and it's about the parents. It sounds like in this conversation.
No, see, the hip-hop artists, they're not. They want the money. You know, the majority of them want the money. And I mean, you know, I'm sorry to say, but it's the truth. They're not looking to, like, better the community like they was doing back then, you know?
Right.
You know, like Rundy's Lovey and Chicken and Collard Greens, you know, they're not looking at that. They looking at the money, you know, wearing my pants, swagging, grab the hole, hit a low. You understand? This is what they're looking at.
Drop that ass to the flow, you know that.
Right.
You know?
Let's ask the question, Rich. And I forgot what state it is, but in a certain state, it made it illegal for kids to walk around with their pants down low. They catch you a ticket. Huh? Now, I think another solution.
Okay.
You can get all the right way into the house. So at the end of the day, they're gonna make their own decision. Some of these schools, I'm talking about, that don't have uniform codes. They actually walk into school with their pants down low with their shirt covered, but it's still down low. You can see it. These teachers, listen, when these kids come walk in your school, pull your pants up. Let's talk. Look, Bloomberg, he can do everything in the world to have black men arrested. But let's address why the kids walk on the street like that. Treat it like a drug, man. Listen, if I catch you, I'll write you a ticket.
All right, well, all right. I want you to keep that in mind. We have another caller on the line. We're going to bring that caller in right now. Hello, caller?
Yeah, what's good?
Hey, what's going on? Who do we have on the line?
Yeah, this is Chuck Freeze from the Bronx. Peace, what's up, y'all?
What's going on, Chuck?
Okay, what's happening?
Well, Chuck, a perfect example. We have Chuck Freeze on the line. Y'all know Chuck Freeze is a member of the Jazzy Five, right, Chuck?
Yes, sir.
Okay, a pioneer. We actually have a pioneer on the line right now. Now, Chuck, we're discussing a hip-hop situation about how it is, how the rap game is now compared to what's back then. All right? I want Jeff to repeat his topic, and I want you to give me a point of view on it.
Sure.
Well, we started off, Chuck, with discussing how hip-hop is impacting our society, mostly the younger generations of our society. And what could we do to make that impact an important one or a helpful one?
Well, my thing is that we really got to get in there here because they're getting their money now, but we're losing the morality of it.
Right.
Which means is that, you know, they have the right of way to make the trends, to set the trends, and to go forward. You know what I mean? When back when we were doing it, you know, a lot of us, we didn't really get the money we were supposed to get. And what the establishment did was they just monitored what we did and tried to create the trends, whereas the young kids of today are creating the trends themselves. Now, I don't say
right.
I agree with them because, like, the pants sagging thing and all that has to go. But the thing is that these guys are getting their money now. So what they need to do is put everything into perspective and to get everybody together to uplift hip-hop in the community to make it a more positive thing and really get these guys on board as far as turning their music into a business.
Right.
No,
right.
You understand, when we came up, like, we didn't, you know, I know quite sure, but it's like a lot of us, we didn't even curse in front of our parents when we were kids, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because you know what
exactly.
happened, there was no PCW, ACS, and none of that, you know, the parents were in control. But now, you know, it's a situation where, you know, if there's an exchange between the parent and the kid can go and call the social worker on the telephone, and it's a whole new ballgame.
That's true. That's some of the stuff we've been talking about.
No.
So Chuck is saying that we got to get these guys together and kind of hold them accountable. And I want to understand, like, how do we do that? What are the first steps in getting these guys? Because all of these artists have kids too.
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. they think that they're teaching the kids the right thing. Get money like me. You know what I mean? Forget what everybody else is saying. Just get money.
Yeah, but all money is not good money.
Exactly.
So right now, it's like it's easy to sell out. And you figure, like, the society now, these kids are being raised that you do whatever you got to do to get money. And like I said, all
right.
money is not good money.
Right. And a lot of that money could go back into the community, maybe have some forums where parents can come and learn parenting skills if they're humble enough to understand that they don't have a grip on their kid when the kid is in and out of detention homes and stuff like that. Learn better parenting skills or something. These guys have the money to do that, and you could use it as tax write-offs.
Yeah.
Man, see, most of these kids are making more money than their parents ever could make. So
yeah,
now the situation where it's not the parents putting the kids in check, it's really the kids uplifting the parents. Because the kids are making
sure.
Because the dollar is helping to dictate what goes on in the household.
I mean,
you're 15, 16, 17, you're paying your mother's rent and your light bill or whatever. She's pretty much at your whim. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you say, son.
No,
exactly. And that's not the way it should be. I mean, I know, I'm just like, I love the music. I'm just a little disappointed because, like, you know, back in the days when we did it, for instance, I was 17, all right? The contract wasn't right, I wasn't signing it, period, point blank. Now we're in the
mm-hmm.
digital world. So these guys are, and young men and women are 100% in control of their own music. You can sell your music online, you can be your own distribution, you know, so
yeah.
you have the right of way to take charge, but now you got to drive the car in a way where we can build our society to the way that we need it to be.
Right. Right.
Now,
Chuck,
let me ask you something real fast. Do you feel, as you being a pioneer, the way the new generation is now, that you could actually do something like make a song that will actually catch their attention? Or do you feel like, okay, the way the new generation is now, it's impossible for a pioneer to, like, go out there and do this because their mind is just so stuck on the trend that they're in now?
Right.
That's a good question.
This is what I'm saying, too, is that, first of all, it's like there's been a separation in hip-hop since the beginning. You know, since the beginning, this group wouldn't talk to this group, this one's going to hang with this group. So my whole thing is to bridge the gap. You know what I mean? That's why a lot of artists I rock with are young artists as well as old school artists. I have more problems working with an old school artist than I actually do with a new school artist. Because a lot of them respect what I do. They feel that I'm relevant, so I can work with them. But the older guys, they have so much ego, and they feel that while you're working together, you're going to take something away from them that they built, and we all came in the game the same at the same time.
Okay.
So my thing is to get with the youth and come together, and then we can make that path. It's like, for instance, no disrespect, it's like the Ice-T Soulja Boy. Remember that?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Ice-T had a beef with Soulja Boy, and to me, that was a little unfounded. It was a lot unfounded, really. Like, you know, I might not love Soulja Boy's music, but I respect what he's doing. I respect the accomplishments that he made, and I respect the influence that he has on the youth. Now, it's either you get with them and join to try to show them a way, or you just sit back and be negative. But if you do that, then they're still going to keep doing what they're doing, and they're not going to advance them.
It's almost like you need to get together and do like that We Are the World song, but differently, with the hip-hop artists mixed with the old and the new, and have them just get together and do a big record or something. But it's got to be positive. You got
to
have
a real legend
in hip-hop produce it and put something together like that. One song is powerful.
Yes, and that will set a trend for everybody else to do the same. That's like a father or an older guy playing basketball with a younger guy.
Exactly.
The older guy has experience in ball, you know what I'm saying? He has his skills. But the younger guy has his, too, and he has his certain style of attitude. So you merge the worlds together. That's what the whole world is all about anyway.
Yes.
It's just the separation is what really is killing them.
Right.
If we're not teaching them, then they don't know, and they're just trying to do whatever they do. And if they're achieving and they're accomplishing, then, you know, they're not going to listen to us anyway. It's similar to the Willie Lynch syndrome from back in the days, and it's alive and effect right now.
Yeah, Willie Lynch is still alive and kicking.
Yes. Young against the old, light skin against dark skin, fat against skinny. It's ridiculous, man.
That's why
they grow so strong, because they stick together, and some of them don't even have a choice.
Right.
But like I was saying, I think it got a lot to do with what they're talking about, you know, the materialistic things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, of course.
But see, the record labels are promoting that. The record labels love it because it's part of the separation. So if you want to talk about
making
that and all
positive, they get positive music, too, and they just won't put it out.
Right.
The A&R's desk is full of music that's positive. But he ain't going to even take it to the executives.
Exactly. And the executives are not going to take it because they're going to feel it's not sense.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to hear about the Huxtable family when they can hear about the new Jack City song?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a good
City
point like that.
It's more exciting to them. It's more of a storyline. When you do a documentary, you don't want to talk about how good your life is and how you did good in school and all that. That's not cool these days to them. And the society don't want us to do that anyway. So they want to hear about the parents on drugs, how we used to sell drugs, shooting in the street. That's profitable.
Right. That's why I say if we maybe somehow can put them together on one song, they can see them together. And kind of make a slow transition into them taking a different a perspective on this whole thing, not just music, not just style, but their life.
Yes, but see, there's two ways to do that. You know, either we get a big producer and we do the mixture of old and new back and forth, or we start from block one, which is an older school artist works with a young school artist, and then the trend catches on. Then everybody is doing it. It's just like clothing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you know, but you know, you're absolutely right about that. But see, like I was saying, like the female that came on, she was saying, you know, got a lot to do with also the fact of, you know, how you raise your child. But society also plays a big part in that situation. It plays a very big part.
Yes.
You know, because if you got one friend that's doing something else and you attach to that friend, then you're going to do what he's doing or you're going to do what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the bad part about it, because they're not being leaders. They're being followers. And in their mind, they think they're doing the right thing because they're following behind their friends because they see, you know, actually what's going on.
Well, more than anything, your kid wants to be accepted.
Right, exactly, exactly. And see, the thing is that it's a little more than acceptance because, for instance, you can pick any new school artist. All right, you came in to get the object to me in this whole business. Is you come in, you follow the format, you conquer the format. Once you conquer the format, then you change the format. But nobody
right.
is changing the
right.
format. Because it's okay to say, all right, I sold out a little bit. You know, I did wear the polka-dot pants for a minute, but now I'm conscious and I have knowledge of self. So I have to take it this way now.
Wow. Wow.
That's what I mean. That's exactly my point when I'm saying get these guys to see them together, and then maybe you can get them to go in a different direction.
Yes. And I think me personally, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I work with anybody, anytime. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not stuck
right.
on it. I went through three generations of hip-hop from the beginning. And
right.
one thing I always knew that hip-hop evolves every year or two. So you have to keep up with the trends. That's how my thing
right.
I have to keep up with what's going on now, what's current. You know what I'm saying? So I don't
right.
have a problem with it. But you have some old school artists that will never do that. They will never do it because they feel that they're going to lose what they created.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's already
see,
gone, though.
Exactly. And, you know, Chuck, as you being a pioneer, see, you got that let's go do it atmosphere, you know, feeling. But you see, a lot of other pioneers might not have that same feeling as you. You understand? Some pioneers probably feel like, you know, that, okay, well, why are they getting more now than what we was getting back then?
Yeah.
You understand?
First of all, we didn't get nothing back then. First of all, let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
When we did parties, we had to go pick up the equipment, load it in the van, take it to the venue, unload the equipment, set up the sound system, and then perform. I was with Disco Scenario. Disco Scenario is one of the first MCs in history. And I ran with Mario, Hurst, Sam Potter. And we didn't get paid back then. Mario was the only one that actually gave us something. And he used to give us all four white castle hamburgers a piece. But we loved it, we respected it, and we rocked with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now these guys are getting millions, and they really have the arsenal to change the game. And maybe nobody's just giving me admission to do something. They need somebody that's older to say, look. But then sometimes they don't want to hear us either. Because they say, listen,
right.
man, when you did it, y'all was broke. Y'all had to do everything to get money, and we making millions, so why should we listen?
And see, that's the point I'm trying to make.
It has to be an incentive. It has to be some type of incentive to get that going. And my thing is, beyond the money, the incentive is the quality of music.
Wow.
And being an artist and being involved in music, I think the incentive is doing something that's going to last, because nobody's going to care about Lil Wayne in 10 years. You know what I mean? His music is not going to be, it's not like they're doing what Motown did. None of this is going to make, is going to be relevant.
But see, I have to disagree with you on that, because the fact of Lil Weezy and what he's doing and how big of a trance he got on the new generation, I'm going to have to say it probably won't be out like for instance, like Chuck Freeze on the Air Jazzy 5, you still got his music playing, you still got Grandmaster Cash and all that music playing and certain parties, you know, for the old school. So like 10 years from now, they might be playing Lil Weezy music. It's just the fact of how he's going about doing it and presenting it to the new generation.
Well, what I mean is that nobody else is going to cover those songs. Nobody, like how many times has Just My Imagination been covered? Nobody's going to cover none of these songs
okay,
of this generation ever again.
You're right. You're 100% right.
I see exactly what you're saying now. Okay, I see exactly what you're saying now. Go ahead.
Now, look, back in the days, right, We love loading that equipment. We love setting it up. We love doing the venue. We didn't get money, we didn't care. So the focal point now is money. So, but let me tell you something. All these years, right, if I drive around in my car and I'm listening to the radio, I'm emceeing over every song that I hear. So I'm reinventing it every song I hear because it's just the natural love of the game. Most of these kids, they don't have love for the game. They think it's, they don't care if their music lasts, as long as they got $5 million right now and they can live their lives the way they want to. So it's a whole different genre now. We really did it because we loved it. We really loved it. You know what I mean? A lot of these artists don't really love it. They consider it as a job. They don't want to flip hamburgers. They don't have degrees. They can't work computers. So this is what they're doing. All you got to have now is the look, a little bit of skills that you can follow the beat, and that's it. Back then, it didn't matter what you looked like, right? It didn't matter at all.
Exactly.
It's just not
exactly.
That's why it was so great when artists like Squiggy came out, Kelly Price, the Fat Boys. Y'all was loving it. I'm going to be honest. When NWA dropped, I loved it. When Public Enemy dropped, it changed me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Changed me. You know, I went for, when I heard Ice Cube and cursing on the record, I went bananas. Because we came from a place where, you see, when I had my first record deal, if you hopped the subway and you got arrested, they would get paid to drop you off the label. Now you have record labels that will bail you out of jail.
Yep, yep.
Big difference. Before, if you got busted still in a bag of tater chips, they dropped you off the label. Now, you can have attempted murder, and they'll bail you out and record your album.
The thing is, it's the money.
Yeah, and it's the publicity that they're going to get out of that person. You understand? Because
that's
what the new generation is looking
promotion.
At. Exactly. Exactly.
Yo, bring it back to the park, y'all. I said Chuck Freeze. What I say, I bet you if you had two old times down the corner and start battle rapping, you have all these dogs, you're like, oh, the OG work and start laughing, having fun with it. So why can't we just bring it to the top? Let me see how we can do it.
But you see, it's not that simple no more. Because, you know, it's not that simple no more compared to how it was back then to now.
Why is a guy who gets $100,000 a show going to do a free performance in a park?
Might be going 2,500 to walk through the crowd. Bush, I never expected also, but the thing is, the game is different now. If these guys really realize, you don't need a record label no more. You don't need a major label no more. We got digital downloads everywhere now. So all you got to do is handle your business. Get your barcode, get your PayPal, get your artwork done, record your song, master it, put it out there. It's the same thing like the block. You direct the traffic to where your music is. If 100,000 people hear it, let's keep the numbers low. 70,000 people look at it. So out of 70,000 like it, maybe 35,000 buy it. That's $35,000. That's a stock that goes further. But they're not doing it for that one.
Exactly. I didn't even realize we went over the time. You know, Chuck Freeze, you know, as you being a pioneer, it's an honor, you know, for you to call in and give your point of view on the topic. You know, I really do. You know how we go back, you know.
Yes, and I respect and I appreciate y'all even having a place where we can air this stuff out and make a better tomorrow.
No doubt. You know, we go back like pork chop sideburns. You know?
That's right. You man, and teardrop pants. That's right.
For sure. Jeff, what's your final thought on the topic?
Man, my thought is that there's people who agree that something needs to be done, and once we put that out there like that, maybe answers will come because we're putting the energy out there. That's my final thought.
Yeah.
Let's keep thinking this way and do the little things that we can do and start focusing on solutions, man, because we see what the problem is.
All right. Now,
let me ask the little things we can do.
Exactly, exactly. What, is there any shout-outs you want to give, Jeff?
I just want to say, give a shout out to my crew here in Vegas, Jim Hunt, Katrina Caruso, who's an 11-year-old phenom. Y'all gonna see her. She's incredible. We got Hydro Vegas out here who's really doing his thing. We got some real people out here who are trying to say the right things and make a difference in this game, not just in hip hop, but in music all the way across the board. So I want to congratulate those guys.
All right. And you know what, Jeff? It was definitely an honor having you on. Like I said, we're going to have you back on and discuss, you know, your things that you did with Andre Harrell and all that. We definitely going to have you back on and discuss all that.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right.
You guys take care, and thanks for having me.
No doubt. Thanks for taking the time out to join us. Jeff Cook, Dons and Divas. Coming up next, Trini, an up-and-coming artist from Trinidad. And we're going to be playing his smashing single, Whitney. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
This is the remix. D-Dot, hit me, baby.
The doctor said I need about 3 weeks of recovery. All the nurses is loving me, saying the best part of the day is my half. Feeding me breakfast and giving me a sponge bath. Niggas say I died dead in the streets. Nigga, I'm getting high, getting head on the beach. Chilling, sitting on about half a million. But all my niggas, all my guns, all my women. Next 2 years, I should see about a billion. All for the love of drug dealing. Got no love for the other side, fuck them tricks. Any repercussions, Junior Mafia spit clips all the time. Big Papa kick the raw rhyme. Raw flows, and that's how it goes.
Ringing chain, truck necklace, igloo, ringing things for the bitches. See them rims spinning grin, the shit with the beat trimmed away. Heavy and large, just silver spurs to rap. On the road to the riches, more furs to drag. More niggas to kill, and birds to bag. Get the jewelry to slurs to tag. I'm out the truck like Trick, what up? Call me Sean if you suck, call me gone when I nuts. That's the end of us, get your friend to fuck. Twist and bend her up, you know the deal. Niggas talking real greasy on some falling shit.
That's right.
Funny how quick these pricks forget. Acting like I ain't the reason they traded they shit. Switch that five, cop that six.
That's right.
It's all good, you know who the chrome is. Fuck the Joneses, niggas trying to keep up with the cone. Come on, y'all.
Notorious, K.I. to the M. That's me on MTV, no doubt. Titty out like, whoa, I don't give a fuck. Y'all know my attitude. Kicked in my cologne and stay your ass home. You ran your chaperone. Things done change, but we continue to reign as a king in the arena hip hop. Me and B.I. Brace White, still a center of attention. I'm by the side with the chrome fist, playing my position. Sexy, young thing, from the ghetto. That bitch rocking mics and high heels and nettles. We taking over like Francis. Switching our styles like the hottest new dances.
Come on.
See, I let y'all live in sack of little paper. Be glad I pushed my album back. I did y'all hoes a favor.
Did y'all hoes a favor.
Can't stop. This is the remix.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back. Once again, I want to thank Jeff Cook with that exquisite topic, you know, that he discussed about. Chuck Freeze for calling in, the Pioneers, and all the other callers for giving their comments on, I know, their point of view on this topic. Right now, I have with me Trini, up-and-coming artist in the building, letting us know what's going on with him. Trini, welcome to the show.
What's up?
What's going on, Trini? What's going on?
What's going on, brother?
I can't call it out, might spoil it. You know?
I
really want to thank you, you know, for taking the time out to join us this evening. You know, I know you a busy dude, you know. I seen you do your thing on the stage and all that. So you definitely serious with it. You know what I mean?
You're ready, now, man.
Exactly. Now, what I want to know is, how did you come up with the name Trini?
The name Trini? To be honest with you, I used to go by the name AK because it was my first initials, like starting high school and stuff. I didn't know what to name myself, so I figured my government, you know, it was, you know, stand for everything that I'm trying to do. So I ran with it, you know, AK. And then I got into the industry where I started dealing with Rough Riders, and they told me I had to change my name because my look did not, you know, it didn't look like AK. It's like, oh, you trying to shoot somebody or something? So they was like, you know, change up your name. Like, so I ended up going home, and I thought about it. I'm like, what other name it could be for me, you know? So I just went home, and I thought about it, and thought about me as a person and what I stand for and who I am, because that's what my name is going to be regardless, you know? And I just thought about it. I said, the realist identity never idealized. You know, I came up with that. You know, thought about it until someone said, oh, Trini. Your name, it actually says, you know, whatever, because I was talking to a person about it, you know, about the idea. And then they said, oh, it actually says Trini, because I didn't know at the time. When I came up with it, I didn't think, you know, I was looking at it as the name Trini, because my background is called Trini, you know. So it was a coincidence that it came into that, you know, that acronym. So I was like, I'll run with this.
Okay.
Sense.
Now, you actually from Trinidad. But you reside in Brooklyn now. How did you make that change from the music to get into rap?
How did I make that change?
Yeah, because, you know, do you feel like, okay, I'm from Trinidad, I should have done the Trinidad thing instead of, doing it big. You're definitely doing it big.
Good look. Appreciate that. I'm doing my thing. I'm trying. man. I mean, it was more of a situation of, you know, music that came to me, like, honestly, it had anything to do with you know, Trinidad. The second day I came to the United States, you know, my mother, she a DJ, so I didn't even know that. You know, I came here and she put me in a basement, you know, like anybody. I was in a basement. She had an equipment set up. And I used to write poems back when I was in Trinidad and stuff. Just, you know, I was skillful with the pen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I never knew about, you know, putting into music and stuff. So my mother, she came down in the basement. She was just like practicing on the corrado and stuff. And she played an instrumental, but it was like the first time I heard an instrumental, like a beat without a voice, like a vocal on it, you know, because we're professional listening to whatever track is out, you know. So at the same time, I was like reciting one of my poems, and I figured that it almost like go together. The beat, it was Jay-Z's Mad Beat, Oh Smoking That La La La. It almost like rock. It definitely didn't match up, but like I felt like it almost did. So I asked my mom, I was like, what is that? You know, she's like, it's an instrumental, it's just without the vocals. It took me a while to realize, you know, this don't got no vocals on it. You feel me? So I ended up like writing like something to fit it.
Mm-hmm. You know,
like a poem that would fit it. And it came out like a rap. That, to be honest, that's exactly what happened. You know, so figured, like, you know, from the time, matter of fact, I remember it too. It fresh from Trinidad, I came to Brooklyn. I walk in the hood, girls be looking, saying, who's that kid on the block? Me, baby girl, you know I'm hot. I'm just picking the walls, looking at the place. But mind off that, I'm looking at your face, standing there looking real pretty in the street. I guess you're the one that I really want to meet. I sing on my sound, now she bounces to the beat. Came back down, now she bounces with a seat. Yeah, I might be new, but my game is old. Just like the flu, I came in the cold. And honestly, I'm not, at the point in time, I didn't have, you know, crazy American accent, you know, so it sounded a way, but it rhymed, you know, and I realized like, I actually did that for my first rhyme. My mom told me, you know, like, you should start doing that, and I realized that's exactly, I was actually good at it, so I was like, yeah, you know, let me try, and that's what it was.
And how old was you when you first started?
That was 17. I was 17. Yeah, 17.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you said you're focusing on producing modern electric music.
Yeah.
Explain that
yeah.
to us.
Well, basically, my music, like, I believe in, you know, in order for somebody to even like your music, you know, like the majority, because I always try to capture the majority. It has to be something like now, because the majority of people goes with things that's going on now, today. You feel me? And I believe, like, as an artist, I want to just basically, you know, I don't want to stick. A lot of artists, for me, they get caught up with, you know, what's now. Like, they just follow, you know, in the sense of, all right, let me try to put it in this way. If you, as an artist, just stick to, like, what's now, then you stick and you don't change, you know, as an artist to what's going on in the time, then you're going to be left behind, you feel me? And there's
exactly.
a lot of different music that rappers, you know, some rappers, they just stick to one, you know, they just stick to what they do, you know, they just stick to, because a lot certain, they have a certain image, you know, and they just stick to it, and they have their thing, you know, I'm trying to attract everybody. So, you know, like, I'm trying to get into dubstep, you feel me? I'm trying to, like, be, like, blend rap between, like dub music and stuff like that, as well as different genres of music, not just rap, you know, because at the end of the day, rap music is powerful, and regardless of what it's on, the voice, you know, whoever, you know, if you got the talent, you know, I believe that you could do anything you want to do, especially with rap in terms of beats and anything, so... It don't matter. Hip hop started with crazy, you know, with any type of thing, you know, instrumental pan, you know, like whatever to form a beat, you know. And so, hip hop, the beats, it don't really matter. If you can rap, you can rap. And I believe as an artist, making music to any instrument is beautiful. So it's not just rap. You know,
absolutely. Now, like I said, I seen you perform at the Nonstop Media open mic. And you killed
yep.
it. You did your thing. Now, let me ask you, what's running through your mind before you go up on that stage?
What's running through my mind? What's running
yeah.
through my mind is basically I'm going to go on and I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to entertain for the crowd. Like, I'm entertaining, first and foremost. Like, I want to just make everybody be like, oh, my God, like, who is that? I mean, my main focus is to make everybody be at awe at what I'm doing. You know, I'm trying to make people, like, you know, not be bored, not be, you know, just sitting or just standing. You know, like, I want people to be involved in what's going on, because at the end of the day, a performance has got to be a performance. You know, it just can't be what you want to do. You know, people got to be, you know, happy with what you're doing. So my main focus is making the people happy once I'm on the stage, like, whatever I'm doing. So that's my main thought, how I'm going to get that across.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about your single, Stop Sleeping. What's the concept behind that single?
My concept?
Yeah.
Well, basically, to me, I feel like the game, as in the whole of hip-hop, is like, it's dead to me. The reason why I say dead, I know that thing been going along a long time now, but to me it's reached the point where, like I think you touched on the topic, if you just have a beat, a high beat, You have money. You have an image. You can make it. You feel me? Like, you definitely can make it. Now, I'm one of those people that really respect the art form of hip-hop because I wasn't born into it. I was, you know, in the sense I just, I wasn't born in America and stuff, so I got into it whereas I had to learn how to really go about it because I'm a lyricist, you feel me? So I respect anybody who's actually good at putting words together and stuff like that and, you know, make people say ooh and ah. So when I see, you know, hip-hop being to the state where you just saying what you want to say because it probably just sound hot on a beat and it's not, you know, it may not even be relevant. Some people get on track and, you know, their relevancy to what they verse and the hook is totally different. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Well, I know sometimes, you know, when you making a song, you gotta stay topic, stay, you know, stay a certain way. So I'm just basically reiterating to people that, yo, the game is dead. This is what it is. A lot of people maintain that the hook, I'm saying the game dead. Whitney, nigga, like, it's not that, you know, Whitney, you know, I give all respect to her because she's definitely a great and pretty aspect of what she did. But I'm just taking that representation of the game because the game itself is, you know, it is what it is. It's, a lot of people fight to get into it, you know, in the sense a lot of people work hard to try to get into it, but, you know, it ain't, a lot of people just, you know, try to, who do this recording thing? You know, we all try to get into it. We all want some part of it, you know, in some way. So it's like the greatness, I'm just using her as a representation. You feel me? Mm-hmm. I stand, you know, my stance is that I hip hop as a whole needs to be, you know, really rejuvenated. You know, the real sense of what it is. You know, I think that it's just not going a certain way. And I want to bring me off that, so I feel like, you know, the old head that's doing it, time for someone new to come in at least and see what's up.
All right, so we're going to get into that right now. We're going to get into that track.
Yeah.
All right, Dons and Divas, this is Trini. Stop sleeping. Parental discretion is advised. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Yeah. MMRC. Scheming on me. Tell the day stop sleeping on me. I've been told you rappers stop weeping on me. I said you niggas trash, somebody come creeping for me. On a mission and I'm feeling lonely. I'm heading for the rings like this nigga Kobe. Gonna face the game and I'm that nigga Tony. They say I'm a dick, tell that to that nigga Moby. I'm a result of the struggle. From a lone nigga playing in a puddle. Water doing his best with the hustle. Two kids but one with a muzzle. Never knew I grew to be this great. Father taught me well, kept the balance in my fate. Didn't even realize that hell I had to date. But it was told and it was done. And now you rappers on my plate cause you fool. And I eat you like pussy. I honestly think that the game is type pussy. Friday night scared type pussy. Get on my way, my dirty shirt like Snooki. Get it? Nah, you'll never get it. Balls over your head like I'm telling you to get it. Get it? Nah, nigga, just forget it. You niggas fucking sweet and I fly, die, better fly. Get that out the game, get the picture, you a brain. I'm a legend, you a lame. I'm a dragon who's insane. Can't control the fucking flame. No use for the brigade. Got a war with the blade. Who's asking to be saved? Like a deputy, try to play me. Remember, you just a lady. Go, go, ho, you coming crazy. Buddies, you mess with your shady. I'm shooting bullets, no. Evil never fazed me, just that history looks so
they sleeping on me. I ride for my niggas, stop sleeping. Niggas always sleeping on me. I ride for my niggas, for my niggas, for my niggas, for my niggas.
Yes, Trini.
You're ready, man.
Yeah, yo. You're definitely doing it. Ain't no question about it. Now, let's talk about MAD, Make a Difference in Music. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, MAD, that's my record label, Mad Music Records, MAD, the acronym, Making a Difference. This is basically what I'm all about, what I'm trying to do, you know. And I started the concept of basically Mad Music. I believe, like, you know, I was going through a lot of stuff, right? Like, I've been in the industry, you know, before. I had managers under me, you know, working for me and doing certain things, but it never really got to where I wanted to do. So, like, it was never really what, you know, it was always a situation where they wanted to put their own image to me. And I always had a problem with that, you know, because I believe as an artist, sometimes, you know, you got to do what you got. I mean, I understand that, you know, the industry is going to be with the industry. You know, they don't want you to do certain things, you know, because of what sells. You know, like, that's just the way certain things are. But it was to the point where nothing that I wanted to do was really into play. You know, it was just solely just my image that they was working on, you know, man. You know, I took that as, you know, some type of disrespect in a way. And I, you know, because every time I tried to get there, it was like, yo, you know what? Because I know I'm talented and I believe, like, you know, I could do this, you know, and I have a group of people that's around me that, you know, they believe in what I stand for, which is right now, which is just to basically make a difference, and not just as in music. You know, it's basically a lot of stuff that's going on right now as a whole in society and a lot of things. A lot of things is going on, and people need to be aware, you know, like, Mad Making a Difference, that's, I try to show that in my music, you know, subliminally, like, certain things that, you know, you just don't have to just listen. Let's listen to the records and listen to what it is with me, and you won't get it, you know. But I just try to basically make something, make a change. I want to make a change. That's basically my thing, like, in hip-hop and as well as, you know, people and society and internationally and everywhere. That's basically just my mode. Like, getting into different types of music, getting into different genres, you know, like, doing things that, you know, is going to be different. You know, making people see that, you know, there's a change. There's positive changes, not just the way it's at right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, who would you say is some of your biggest influences on making you want to become a rapper?
My biggest influences, I would have to say that from 50, Biggie, Eminem, and Wayne. Just because I respect his artistry and what he does. You know, that I like, you know, it's not easy to do that. You know, I respect that, what he does. So, yeah. So those are my main.
All right. And three words describe Trini.
Trini?
Yeah, in three words.
I would say real. I'm real. I keep it real all the time. Yeah, real. I come off as safe out, so I was, you know,
like,
arrogant. A lot of people think I'm arrogant. The way I come off as an artist, as you know, as well as me, you know, but it's, you know, with so arrogant, and versatile, basically.
Because
I believe I can get into everything. You know, it's not something that I can't really get into. It's a situation that, you know, somebody doubts me, I, and whatever it is, I get into it. So I believe I'm versatile. So. real evidence. But...
Okay. Now, how do you feel about the music that's out now?
You were going to get to the gist of what I was saying before earlier. Like, there's many things I definitely like, and a lot of things I don't like, but the idea of a lot of music out here is it's good. Like, it's good, but at the same time, it's not really saying nothing. Like, it's just music. You go to the club, you have a good time, and you chill. It's just hot for now. And about 2 months, 2 later, it's like, okay, not even a month, it's like a year later, where that's going on. So I don't really like what's really going on. Like, I feel like real records and real, real music needs to at least stay around for more than 6 months.
Okay. What makes Trini music different from everybody else's music?
Trini music, what makes my music different from everybody else is that some people tell me, yo, you say too much. Or why you gotta say things like that on your record. Like, I'm the person, you're not gonna get nothing less of real from me. Like, I'm just one of those dudes that, I tell it as it is. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. My music basically just explains certain things about what's going on in the game, what's going on in society as a whole, and I don't make it where as you always just, this guy is just telling you a bunch of stuff. Like, it's music that you can actually still dance to. You can still, you can still be like, it still has its relevance for what's going on now in terms of how music is up now. So it basically tells the message as well as, you could party, you could have a good time. And at least remember things that I said that actually is meaningful, basically.
Oh, okay. We actually have a caller on the line for you, Trini. We're going to bring that caller in right now. All right?
All right. No problem.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
What's going on, Trini? It's your boy, Oscar.
What's going on? You have Trini on the line?
What's up, man?
Yo, what's going on, Trini? It's Hot City in the building. What's up?
What's going on? What's going on, bro?
Hey, my man, listening to this interview real quick. Hey, things sounding real good. Want to make sure everything gravy on that end.
All right. It's going good. It's going good, though.
Everybody got to check out that statue, a.k.a. Trini. The music is definitely the future. Man, music is definitely making a change in every aspect of the hip-hop industry.
So you actually, you actually know Trini and you listen to his music?
Yeah, yeah, I'm a producer / engineer.
Oh, that's Trini, what's up, bro?
Who's that, Trini?
Yeah.
You didn't know that was me, Trini?
I was trying to figure out, man. I was trying to figure out on it.
I mess with Trini, the music game. I'm a producer and engineer, and I work with the team, Mad Music. I'm one of the people that stand by the team 100%. So, and show love,
Okay, so you actually produced some of Trini tracks, right?
I haven't yet, but I ride with the team. I'm also an engineer. I work one-on-one with the team a lot, so.
Now, from your point of view, how would you describe Trini as being an up-and-coming artist?
Honestly, when you get that feeling that you have to stand by an artist, how there's a lot of artists trying to make it these days, and a lot of producers and studio workers, they don't want to work with an artist because it's a waste of time. Well, me personally, I could say, that Trini is bound for greatness, and he's one artist that I've worked with in my life that I could actually sit here and say that I'm, not just going to give up on him, because there's too much success that I've seen him go through and seen him do for me to just walk away to next month hear him on the radio or see him on TV and be like, damn, I fucked that bridge up. Like, I ride for Mad Music, Hot City Nation, you know, shows like unreal love to Mad Music Records, because that's just really, you know what I'm saying, I feel like there's definitely a change in the hip-hop industry going to be made by his music.
Okay, so you definitely have a strong supporter by you, Trini. There ain't no question about it. Because you broke that down with no question, no hesitation.
I respect that. I respect that a lot, brother. You already know.
You already know what it is. Them and all the team.
You already know, my brother.
All right, guys. I'm going to let this interview continue on. I'm listening. Hot City, just showing love. You already know.
No doubt.
Hot City, you're ready, bro.
All right, Trini. I'm going to highlight you.
Well, what I want to do right now, Trini, I want to get into another one of your singles real fast, Whitney. Now, what's the concept behind that, and what actually made you name this single Whitney?
Whitney, like, I don't explain it again, though. Whitney is basically, you know, the concept between the game as it is right now. You know, like I said, I definitely respect Whitney, like, it's not a situation where I'm coming at you, I'm saying, oh, Whitney, the game's dead, Whitney, nigga, like, no, it's not, you know, it's not disrespectful or anything towards her, you know, it's really more, it's more just comparing the game, you know, to her, because she was great, you know, and I'm just, you know, I wanted to show people that the game, like, what it is, it's dead, like, it's time for, you know, it's time for somebody to say something. A lot of rappers are not saying nothing, like, they just, you know, they just doing what they do, and that's what it is, but like I said, I make this music just, you know, to say, to put a voice out there, so with good lyrics, and that's what it's going to be. So, you know,
so we're going to get into that right now.
Yep.
All right, Dons and Divas, here's another banger by Trini, titled Whitney. Parental disruption is advised. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, love and entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
The game dead, Whitney nigga. The game dead, Whitney nigga. The game dead, Whitney nigga. I'm Bobby and y'all suck like Whitney nigga. Legend in the making, fuck you niggas thinking. I go ham, Mr. Abraham Lincoln. Rock you with the bow go with a shit smell of wild odor. You on a boat from a flow and I'm that guy Noah. I've been bench the game with a side shoulder. Look up, I'm high, but the sky's sober. Golden and ice caps in that dry polar. Sounding like the inside solar. Listen nigga, that guy YOLO. Making it work, stacking the paper. Your pocket's sad, I laugh at the haters. I serve you niggas, couple of waiters. Double the caters, taking they fuck with the favors. Candy wrappers, I see a couple flavors. Bubble gum biscuit and a couple wafers. Catch you in the street, I see a couple neighbors. They'll shoot you niggas down, we discover later. Say what I want, mean what I say. You niggas dead, watch how they start with a K. Bars. Tell him pause and replay. I go hard, you niggas go for the bay. BK, Trini nigga, AKA, fuck with me nigga. Sitting off that crack and you suck like Whitney nigga. And I'm Bobby and the game dead, Whitney nigga. 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 I'm Bobby and I'm suck like Whitney nigga. The game dead.
Game dead, Whitney nigga.
down from the blunder. Until my makeup, I'll make it when I get there. Fuck it, cause I'm the shit here and the shit there. I know, fuck you, cause listen, ain't shit fair. Bet you straight twist gears in the lead like a switch, yeah. Your flow will never be on my scale like bitch, yeah. So don't fuck around with me, nigga. Got it on lock, and I never had a key, nigga. I'm D, nigga. You A, B, C, nigga. You O, E, I'm a G, nigga. H, O, S, B, nigga. Can't see me, nigga. I jack the mic, MTV, nigga. Home is where I sent E.T., nigga. I'm not a Martian. Ask V.Z., nigga. The game dead. Quit me, nigga. The game dead. Quit me, nigga. The game dead.
Trini, what's going on? Yeah, we have some callers on the line. We're going to bring them through real fast. All right? Let's get our first caller. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, yes, I'm here.
All right, you have Trini on the line.
What's going on, Trini? I listen to your interview, brother, and you know, I'm going to keep it real with you, you know what I mean? First of all, let's say I respect what you do. You're trying to make music. I respect everybody trying to make music. But what I don't respect is how people try to make music, the message they're trying to put out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, you got to take it with the sweetness thing. I'm sure you agree with that. Everybody's not going to like the music. I don't like the music. And the simple fact is because, you know, I heard you talk, somebody trying to do positive things and all that. But, you know, I don't understand what people, what rappers say, generally speaking now, when rappers say they're trying to do positive things, all I hear is niggas, I'm going to smack you and all that. Like, what's positive about that? To me, personally, I'm not saying you're pointing you out again. I'm saying people who say you want to do things positive and do that, you want to stay underground. You're not going nowhere. That's just my opinion. You're not going nowhere with that.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Everybody got their own opinion, you know. Everybody has their own opinion.
I definitely respect it because that's something, you know, that's not the first time I heard that. That's not, you know, I totally understand, you know, why you say that. You know, I'm not a dumb nigga. Like, I don't know what my music says. But, you know, the crazy thing about it is that, and the sad thing about it is that when people, you know, to get into the gate with any situation, and I'm like, you just gotta. To be honest, straight up, if I was to come at it on some type exactly the way, you know, like most people want it. Like, I'm trying to say, I'm trying to make a difference. I'm trying to change, and my music is not, you know, obviously it don't sound, you know, straight positive. That's the point. That's a part of me being arrogant. And that's a part of you and whoever is a listener, that comes to getting to know my music. If you understood, that comes to just getting to know my music. You won't hear everything I'm trying to say, I would never expect anybody to be like, oh damn, like this nigga is who like he's really trying to take on fire. No, I would never get that because my music never comes off as that. That's something that you just have to listen to a lot of my music. And it shouldn't be like that, but it's sad. The only way I'm gonna get in, the only way you get into the system is if you go the way. If you listen to any music that's out here, what they talking, regardless. What are they talking? The positive sectors get shut down because of the way of certain things are. You can't be too positive out here, period. So in order to bend the rules, you gotta play like them sometimes. You feel me? And that's just how I come across. You feel me? A lot of people will not like it. I bet if I say, yo, you know, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I say what I want, I do what I do. If you don't like it, you don't like it. And you heard that music, you would understand, okay, cool. I feel what that nigga's saying. Like, that's his mode. Like, he don't give a fuck. Like, he say what he want to say, boom, boom, boom. But how he come across now, like, yo, that, like, he's trying to make a difference, but your music is talking like this, and your music is talking like that. I understand that. That's a contract that I'm always going to have. But regardless,
you know,
records is going to come where you're going to see what I mean directly. My mixtape
you know
is coming out, so that's what it is. Yeah.
I respect the fact, you know, Trini, for the caller coming in and you accepting the criticism. That's what makes an artist, when you can accept criticism. Now, you got some artists that might get upset or whatever the fact is. That means you can't accept criticism because everybody's not going to like everything.
Of course.
You understand?
I know that.
So
I know that.
You know,
but
and I respect you on that note. I respect the caller for being truthful about his the opinion also.
I respect him too because I respect real niggas at the end of the day. I want somebody to give me the realest comment. Like, that's what just going to make me better as an artist. A lot of people don't like Jay-Z. A lot of people don't like Eminem. A lot of people don't
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not worried about that because they did what they had to do at the end of the day. And some people did like us. And the ones that do are their main core fans, which is a lot. So I'm not, you know, that's just what it's going to be. Criticism, I accept all. You know, that's just what it is.
Exactly. I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Now, I'm going to bring in another caller who we have on the line. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have Trini on the line.
Hey, Trini, how are you?
How are you, love? How are you? Fine.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I heard both the tracks, and, you know,
okay.
I like the message that you're trying to deliver, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, I do agree with you where you have to come across a certain way to fit in. Like, a lot of it, you know, both tracks seem like they're more, like, underground. But
yeah, I know. I know that.
Then I watched you perform at the open mic, and you tore it up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The skills are there, the talent is there, it's just, you know, you switched it up a little bit with these two tracks, you know, that will play tonight. But
yeah.
you definitely have a career ahead of you, you know.
Okay.
Even at the open mic when you switched it in and did different language in it, you know, I was hyped, you know. So
even then I performed the same by Whitney throwing the same song I performed.
you performed the Whitney song and you performed another one. Too.
I was on me with it, yeah. Yeah, which both was on, you know, that same type of vibe, so I get that. I respect it.
But both were good. Like, you know, you did your thing. And I think that, you know, I'm sure, like, on the mixtape, you know, that you have coming out, it's going to have a mixture, you know, of music where when you deliver, you know, another message, it's going to be a message that's more for, you know, the society and for kids, you know, because they're listening, you know, to anything that's dropping nowadays.
Yeah.
And, you know, the word nigga, you don't want, you know, to keep using that, you know, because that's something that so many rappers, so many artists are using nowadays, you know. And to some people, it might get the point across. To other people, you know, they'll probably say, okay, well, is there another word that we could possibly use, you know, to get the point across? But I think that you definitely have a future, you know, and stay focused and, you know, keep working hard, keep grinding, you know, because you're definitely doing your thing and,
thanks
you
a lot,
know, you're going to go far.
Thanks a lot.
Now, Trini, what's your main goal? What's your main goal to success as an up-and-coming artist?
My main goal to success?
Yes. Yeah, as an up-and-coming artist.
My main goal to success will be basically, one, believing in myself and believing in my cause and just basically doing what I got to do. You know, just keep to my you know, my cause, because I know I'm going to have a lot of people that, you know, that's definitely not going to like what I'm doing, you know, and I respect it. But the only time you lose out is when you change or you bow down to certain people, you know, and you know, I'm not trying to change myself, you know, and I believe my success is going to come with me sticking to my grounds and what I know and what I'm doing, you know, regardless of what a lot of people feel, because the ones who are the greats are the ones who did their own thing at the end of the day, regardless of who liked them, who didn't like them. You feel me? Those are the ones. The ones who are leaders, they stick to their own ground. You will never find a follower, you know, or somebody who just, or somebody who's great, just, they're not the ones who are, like, who lead. They're not the ones who are that successful, you know. Like, to me, I want to stick to, you know, stick to my ground, stick to what I'm doing. You know, take a lot of people's criticism, a lot of people's advice. You know, I'm not biased. You know, I always listen to people, you know, but at the same time, when I'm listening, I still do what I do, you know, and think and do it as it's, you know, supposed to with others, you know, input as well. So that's just my program and how I'm saying about that.
Okay. Now, do you have any mixtapes out right now? You have any coming out?
Well, my collection of facility, which is the mixtape, that's gonna, you know, that's my major mixtape. That's gonna be dropped. That's gonna drop on the 7th of July. That's basically like the caller said. I have a lot of music that's, you know, straight up hard, straight up, like, you know. But the main songs you're gonna hear what I'm saying, you know, on the mixtape. There's a lot of tracks that you're definitely gonna hear what I'm saying. You know, collection of facilities, basically the concept of, you know, locking down the game, you know, bars, you know, because that's where I'm from. I'm a person, I love giving the people the oohs and the ahs, so you're going to hear, you know, just bars, and just locking down the game and exposing a lot of things with the game as well, and just trying to show people, like I said, but that comes when you listen to the mixtape. Those songs that you heard, those are just straight up my just go with them songs, like me not giving a fuck and just saying how I feel and, you know, that's just what it is, you know. But on the mixtape, you're going to hear the versatility, the different tracks that I choose to do. You know,
okay.
So you're going to hear what I'm really trying to say through my mixtape. So the 7th, 12th, collection of facility, thatpiff.com. Check out screen and, download that mixtape.
Now, where do you see yourself, let's say, 3 years from now?
3 years from now?
Yeah.
All right, 3 years. Well, three years from now, I see myself touring. I see myself, you know, creating music, you know, and that's just where I see myself just going places, creating music, and doing music, you know, making, you know, I should have my fan base, you know, my fan base definitely way more than what it is, you know. Like, I see myself as well as on the radio, you know. And when I do it, I know I'm going to have a lot of people that's definitely not going to like me. That's the thing about this that I know. So, but in 3 years, I should definitely be, you know, on the radio doing my thing and, you know, going and doing certain things the way it should be done, you know.
Now, if you could perform or open for any artist, who would it be and why?
If I could perform or open for any artist, then who would it be and why?
Yeah.
That would be, I would say, I would say Eminem.
Oh, okay.
And the reason for that is that Eminem, he says, he, you know, he, when you raise, at least the city that we know, and, you know, the city back then, you know, as well as he is now, because he's lyrical, but me doing what I do, you know, the craft, you know, people are going to, you know, respect the art form, regardless of how you say what you say. It's in the sense of, I believe that performing one of it is opening up for him. His fans, at the end of the day, they respect lyricism as well as how crazy he can be. The shade, you know, and that's how I am, you know, in the sense of I'm going to say that I black out, you know, and it's just straight up lyrics and bars, and that's how M is. M hits you that real lyricism, you know, real shit. So, you know, that's just my thing, I know. I would let that open up for one of his shows.
Definitely my thing,
lyrically. That's just
what
it is, you know.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Trini, you know, it's been an honor having you on. I want you to give the listeners all your information, give them your Facebook, your Twitter, your web, give them all that.
All right. Yo, you can check me out. It's your boy, Trini. Download that mixtape, Correctional Facility, July 7th, 2012. You can get me at, you can follow me on Twitter at @TheReal_Trini. That's TheReal_TRINI. You can get me as well as on Reverb, www.ReverbNation.com/hiphopfirsttrini. That's HIPHOPSTRINI. And you already know Facebook. You can get me on Facebook at Mad Music Records, LLC. You can check me out there, Mad Music Records. You can check me out on my fan page. you know, going like that. You know, I appreciate it. You know, I'm not, you know, one of those guys that feel like they too far to talk to people, like, you know, regardless. I talk to everybody, you know, that's just what it is. I'm not crazy, I'm not
hey.
Far. And so, I'm a chill dude.
No doubt. Is there any shout outs you want to give?
I want to give my shout out to my team, Mad Music Records, my nigga Eli, my nigga Drew. You know, I want to give shout outs to my producers. You feel me? Legacy, where you at? You feel me? City, what's up? For showing love. Just one of the dudes that, you know, show me love like that. I respect it to the fullest. That's the type of people that I need on my team. And, you know, everybody else that listen, I appreciate you even tuning in to, you know, to even listen to this interview, you know, and what I got to say at least. And everybody, you know, it's them. It's up.
No doubt, Trini. Once again, good looking, you know. You welcome anytime.
I got a shout out. BlogTalkRadio.com. They doing their thing. They have me on here. I respect it. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. And, you know, I would love to be on it again. You know, definitely hit me up anytime.
No doubt. No doubt. When you're ready, all you got to do is get the call. You got the direct number.
You're ready, man.
No doubt.
You're ready.
All right. Trini, Gods and Divas. Coming up next, we have big time promoter Flowin in the palace. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Ever come void. Watch Roy! It's a remix!
It's
going
to be a beautiful night.
CISA, it's Tiffa and me.
Champagne
days, big boat night.
I started off sexy, what do you say?
Out of Jamaica, I'm clear, buddy.
And all the ladies say. And all the ladies say. Think I like that. And all the ladies say. Welcome to the champagne life. Where trouble is a bubble in a champagne glass. Dreams and reality are one and the same. Now we gonna do it like this.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back. And with me right now, I have big time promoter Flowway. Flo, welcome to the show. Flo,
what's going on, man?
I can't call it. What's going on with you? I see you're doing big things right now.
Oh, man. I'm just working hard, man. I'm trying to be big, man. So I hear you say big time promoter. I'm aiming to be a good time promoter.
I hear you. You're definitely doing it, though. Ain't no question about it. Now, let me ask you, what made you want to be a promoter and get into the promotional event field?
Well, I really started out with music. I really was always interested in music ever since being very young. And then I just always had an extra eye for the behind-the-scenes stuff, like, okay, how the parties. Basically, I started doing parties to promote my music. That was the thing with me. I was always into music, so I said, all right, people was turning me away, oh, you too young kid, blah, 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 oh, you don't got this, you don't got that. So, okay, me and my friends, let's get together, let's throw a party, and we showcase ourselves there. So that's what really made me get into being a promoter. And then I just really started sticking with the promotion. I just really liked it, that part of doing parties, concerts. I really, you know, events in general, that really just stuck with me. I just fell in love with doing it. I started to do it to help me benefit in music, and it just took a totally different turn for me, basically.
Oh, so when you do your events, you know, I don't know, sometimes maybe you're doing solo, but do you call, like, other promoters to interact with you?
It depends on how big the production is, or majority of the time, if I'm doing, because, you know, you can't be a one-man, you know, one man can't do everything. So
exactly.
I always look to work with different people that I know will bring the event more to life. You know, oh, okay, I'm good at doing this. I have somebody who could do this. I have somebody to do that. So I'm always open to working with different people. Now, certain things I just gotta say, you know what? I gotta work with this on my own, by myself. But majority of the time, I'm working with different people.
Now, do you feel, as you being a promoter, it's hard to be in a relationship?
when I tell you, sometimes, but for the most part, it is, because, you know, you're always on the go. You know, that's doing this is really your lifestyle. You're always out promoting. You're always at this event. You're always doing this, doing that to prepare for something. And so it really does, because, all right, you're always in the clubs. You're always around different girls. So, you know, it's about being, you know, being trusted, because most girls know how most guys are in this type of business. You got girls that think you a gold mine, you know, you jackpot. So they come after you. So, you know, so it is kind of difficult, you know, especially when it's somebody you really care about, you really trying to be serious with, and they just see, like, especially if you done met them at one of your events, you can forget about it, and they
It's like ching ching, you know, I'm going at him mainly, right? No, it's just, you know, it happens, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it all boils down to the trust thing too, you know.
Absolutely.
I guess when you're
absolutely
doing the promotion, you know what I mean? It also boils down to that trust. Now, you have a lot of promoters. It's a lot of promoters out here. And you know, you got some promoters that get jealous because their event is not like the next promoter event. They not filling the capacity like the next promoter is. So the jealousy comes about. How do you react in a situation like that?
With me, I don't really, that stuff like that really doesn't faze me. Because I just do my thing, you know. At the end of the day, I know I have my main supporters that's always going to back me with whatever I'm doing. And so that really it kind of really inspires me. When I see other people event, say if I do a party or something or whatever, and it's 200 people, and I go to somebody else's event, and it's this many people, like stuff like that, it really motivates me to do more, because a lot of the guys that are in this industry are older than me. So, and for me to be able to work diverse crowds, I have a young crowd and I have an older crowd. I could bring people out in their 40s and I could bring people out in their 20s. So it's not really a big issue to me.
Now, where have you had some of your events at so far?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Rich?
Where have you had some of your events at so far?
Well, the Paradise Theater is one of the home. It's a home for me. On the Rocks Entertainment, that's my Uncle Derek Sanders and Shelby Joyner. They took me under the wing over there. And so that's where the majority of my work is, you know, reflected at. Then I have done like smaller lounges, clubs, and everything like that throughout the Bronx. Fusion. I have worked with some promoters at Webster Hall before. The Arena out in, what is that, Queens. So I have done a lot of good clubs. I've worked, you know, done a lot of events throughout the city. But the Paradise Theater is mostly, that's the main. That's my home. That's where people know they could come and find me.
All right. So that's mainly because Paradise Theater is just crazy right now. It's
right,
crazy.
Right.
So you're dealing with On the Rocks Entertainment. That's where Swagger and.
Right.
I know he also do Henny on the Henny, I think it is. Henny Entertainment. It's a couple of them. So I know they deal
right.
with it. But let me ask you, what would you say is the best thing about being a promoter?
The best thing about it is it's the people. It's the people that really comes out and supports you. That's the, like, the love that you get. Because, you know, me and my team, we're putting together good quality events. And that's not very expensive. So, you know, you're not... So that's the best part for me, is to be able to put together a well production, and get just a lot of love, and people really appreciate it. It's the support. So it's the people that make this whole thing best for me. Like, they really support me on everything I do. Like, every day, always there, they're always around. Media, you know, they're there. They're the support system. Without them, it wouldn't be nothing.
Okay. Now, how long would you say it would take you to plan an event? Let's say you got an all-white affair. How long would it take you to plan that event? If you were to do it at the Paradise or Roseland or anywhere?
I give myself always 3 months. It's always 3 months for me, and that's just the way I am. I'm putting it together for a month, like that's me, like, because I might jot some ideas down, put it down, and come back later on, and add to it, and just to make it the way I really really want it, instead of rushing and doing it, and then you have the next 2 months for promotion. So everything is always. I always do everything, booking, everything, at least 3 months in advance. And then I give myself 2-4 months of promotion. So I say that's what a party, with a concert, it takes it's a good amount of time for concerts. You're probably going to have 4 to 5 months with everything. That's with promotion, with planning.
Three months is
the minimum for me.
Okay. Now, as you being a promoter, right, Would you say that's something a person could make a career out of?
Definitely, definitely, because you can always grow, you know, like, you never know, because I want to, you know, I'm managing artists right now at the moment also, so that's something I want to take, you know, a path in, so it's all linked together, so it is all about what you're doing. The more and more you do, the more you can make a living off it. If you're just going to stick to doing parties or just stick to doing local concerts and your company, you're not growing, then no. But to make a living, you have to just grow from that and add more and more and more and just get bigger. Mm. And I definitely feel like you can make a living off it, because this is what I want to make a living off of. This is what I really want to do.
Now, you have some promoters, they have their graphic designers for their flyers. Do you have a specific graphic designer, you know, when you do your flyers, or do you go to random spots to get your flyers done?
Yes, I have a specific designer, My Style. I have a guy named Antonio. His last name's Ferrer. It's a couple of different guys that I'll go to for different things. So you can say it's a selective five guys that I'll be like, okay, for this type of event, I know I want to go to him. For that, I want to go to this person. So it's a hand few that I would go to for different things. And sometimes I like to get different versions, because, you know, like, the flyer is everything. I believe that. The attraction is everything, you know. But if you see a cheesy flyer, you think of it as a BS.
Exactly.
It's all about the quality is everything, or what you put out there. The detail, it has to be very detailed, you people, just to make people want to go. So sometimes I'll actually get a design from him and get a design from her and like both of them and put both of those flyers out there on the street. And just have two different, because whatever doesn't attract the person, right? The other flyer might attract them, so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So let me ask you, when would you say is the best time to actually throw an event? Like, what season would you say is the best time to do events?
I'm going to say the winter.
The winter?
Yeah. And a lot of people, all right, I'm debating right now between the fall and the winter, but it's around that time of the year, from November to March, is like I feel those are the best times, because it's not that summertime is more, it's, if you want to look, you know, the summertime, there's so much free stuff going on, there's so many different, it's a lot of the same themes in the summertime, white affair, pink and white. So it's a lot of the stuff, like, if you're just looking to have your event packed and really successful, it's the wintertime, because not a lot of people need something to do during that time, because people, you know, nobody wants to do anything. They're scared of the weather, they're scared of the snow, they're scared of this. So I would definitely say around that time, the winter.
Now, how long have you actually been doing promotional? You've been a promoter doing promotional events.
I've been on the On the Rock street team since I was 13 years old. And so I was here since I was 13. And I just started out just being on just handing out flyers, you know? And then I started doing my own events probably like 2 years later, 15 years old. No matter if it was a community center, no matter if it was a, you know, I was doing my thing. I was doing what I could afford to do at that time.
Okay, we actually have a call on the line for you. So we're going to bring that call in real fast, you know, see what he has to say. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, brother?
All right. You have Flo way on
the line. How you doing? Oh, yo, Flo, what's up, Flo? What's going on? Who am I speaking to?
Nah, you sticking to a caller. My name is Joe. You know, I heard about you, man. You know, I heard you be giving some good events. I'm thinking about, you know, doing some events. What I mean is, like, I'm not experienced in doing events. I have no really real knowledge and skill to doing it. There's a thought, you know, because I'm hearing, you know, these promoter things is really big, you know. So my question to you is, like, if I would come and have a sit-down with you about getting into the promoting business, what would you tell me? What questions would you ask me, you know, to ensure that you know, that I'm really ready for this business?
I would ask you, why do you want to do it? What are your goals? Do you have a following? Do you have people that listen to you? That's a really important thing.
Okay.
And those would just be the three main things, because I have worked with a lot of people that are not as experienced as me, and they came to me to help them plan an event, to work on an event. So it's not really rocket science. It's all about just having a good mind and knowing what people want. And that's
it. I mean, do I have to have money? Like, you know, do I have, you know, come out of my pocket?
yeah, that is a requirement.
You gotta have that.
you can't make a move. That's the thing. You can't make a move in this world without money. You can't. You can have all the brains and everything in the world. Sometimes you might get over like that, but especially this type of business right here. Nobody wants to deal with nobody with no money.
if you found out that my head's in the right area, that my heart's really into it, right? And we come down to the money thing. That shit gonna flow, man. Can you front me, man? Would you front somebody that's too short? You gotta fuck anybody. Would you front me, man?
Huh?
So
would I support you?
Yeah, would you front me? Yeah, would you front me some money to do it? No, I'm not asking the question. I'm just saying somebody came to you, have a sit down with the person, and you know, like,
yeah,
you said,
it really depends on the vibe I have with this person. Like, say if you shoot an idea to me, right? If you don't have any funds, and I really like the idea, I'll ask you, okay, can I buy the idea? Can I, you know, okay, I'll work something out with you, because you present it. I'll definitely work something out with you, because you presented a great idea.
Right.
So it's not always about the money, you know, it's not always about the fun at all, because I had somebody that had to help me out, my uncle. He had to, when I couldn't do anything, he had to, all right, here, you know, or here, come work with me, come do this so you can fund your own stuff. So it's all about working together.
Exactly, networking, I mean, exactly. Build an empire, more or less.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now,
let me ask you.
He's the money. You lost me on that one, Flo. I'm trying to get back into it. You lost me on that one. Now, let me ask you. Cause, you know, I don't know whether this is a trick question I'm going to ask you right now, considering what the caller just asked you about fronting the money, but what's one of the things you don't like about being a promoter?
There's one thing I don't like about being a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll tell you one thing I don't like. You're going to lay it all out, Rich Money. I hate when people, I'm promoting an event for 3 months, right?
Mm.
Get your ticket, support. And you got people that probably never supported an event, probably you even spoke to them, they didn't told you you're going to buy tickets, et cetera, et cetera. They told you they
you know, they promise you the whole world to have your back. But, and then, let me just put it like this. I hate when people show up the night of the event and they're outside the door trying to get in. That's the most annoying thing, because I'm promoting it to you, I'm letting you know, and everything like that. Well, and people always try to just get things for free. Like, you know, we spend money as promoters. We spend hard-earned money for these events, you know. And mm-hmm. you're taking a risk, whether it's going to do good, whether it's going to do bad. It's something, you know, you have to have, in order to move on from that, you have to have just a passion for it itself. So it's not always about the money with me, but I just hate when people, you just have people that don't support you. And whenever they want to come out, they just want to get a free ride on everything. So that's the, so you have the users, that's who, that would be the thing that I don't really like.
All right, they want to take advantage of the situation. You know, they want to take advantage. They know you, so they feel like, all right, since I know him, he's all good, you know. Let me get involved with this. He's going to get me in for free.
And like, people have 9 to 5. This is my living, you know what I'm saying? I'm working from, mm-hmm. I'm working from 9 to 5 in the morning. So this is something that I'm, this is something how I'm eating and how I'm doing for mine. And people just really don't, most of the time, they really don't understand that, you know?
Exactly. Now, let me ask you, have you done any concerts yet, or are you just mainly focusing on the party scene as of now?
Being blessed by my uncle and Shelby to work at the Paradise, to be a special event coordinator over there, as we, these couple of years that we've been there, that's where I got my concert experience from. That's where I pitched my ideas, and that's where. So I do work on concerts in the Paradise Theater based on that. So most of the concerts that you see that come through there, I'm behind the scenes doing a lot of the work, the street work, this, one of the radio stations. And that's the most fun thing for me. I love to do the concerts, the comedy shows, more than the parties. And that's the most fun for me, to work with the management, to meet the different artists and different people that come through there. Mm-hmm. So that's the most exciting thing in the world, to work and do a concert.
Now, let me ask you, what's the normal procedure for your events? Like, what's the dress codes?
Most of the time, it depends. Majority of the time, it's always mostly a theme, you know. And most of the time, I'm going to say upscale. It's mostly upscale events. So I could say upscale, like, majority of the time.
Okay, so mainly most of your events is upscale. So that's mainly with the slacks and shoes and,
exactly,
you know,
collared shirts and everything. You know, everybody's looking like, you know, gentlemen, you know, and women, you know, just looking real grown and sexy. So, nobody, you know, coming to the club with baggy, you know, it's a style nowadays too. Who comes to the club, you know, in baggy jeans and, you know, you know, do-rags and stuff like that, you know. You know,
exactly,
if you want, especially being, you know, black at that, too. You know, you have, you know, you just have police is always, they're always harassing our people when they do events, no matter where it's at. So I have majority of 9 times out of 10 when the event going on, when I'm doing an event, the police come by. So for them to come by and see, wow, okay, these people are dressed really nice. They're, you know, they moving differently.
Mm.
Not your normal, you know, normal with most people who just go to clubs, and so it's a really good look.
Now, if you could perform, if you could do a promotional event any place, where would you most likely like to have that event at?
Any place?
Any place.
Wow. I'll probably do Miami. That's some. That's one of my. That's one of my goals, like to go out there and just pull off a big, huge event, like a mega concert out in Miami on the beach, like talking thousands of people. That's something I definitely want to do in this lifetime.
So Miami would definitely be one of the places where you want to have your events at.
Exactly. I definitely want to go out there because Miami too is the competition out there is crazy. And I like to be like I like to challenge myself to do things that I might deep down I might think that I might can't do. I might have doubts in. Instead of all people be like, oh nah, you know, we don't think we should do this day this time because of this and that. I'm that type of person. I like say, you know, I want to do it. I want to challenge myself. So to go out there in Miami, especially be from New York and pull off a successful concert, that'd be everything for me.
Now, let me ask you. You got the promoters. They got to get the DJs. They got to get the tickets. They got to get the flyers. They got to get the people to, you know, help them sell the flyers. It's like a hustle thing. How do you go by just maintaining yourself to go through all that?
It's just all about strategy. Like, that's everything. Like, I say yes, I say no, I do this, I do that. So I'm pretty, like I told you, I always do everything 3 months too. So I'm pretty organized, you know. Different events, I call different people. I want to put you on to certain tickets. I know you might have a crowd that does it. I'm a good observer in people. And so when I deal with someone, I know exactly who I want and what I want. And if it's something that I feel that I don't want, you know, if it's something that's already done and I already have my idea and my plan set, majority of the time, you know, that's it. This is my plan. And, not that I don't want to work with you, but I have something else that I would probably want to work with you on. So I'm just really straightforward and I'm honest with people. So, you know, that's not too much for me.
Okay. We actually have a call on the line. Are you going to bring that caller in real fast?
Yes, let's do it.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have Flo Way on the line?
Hey, Flo, how are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm good, thank you. So what's going on with the event that you have on Facebook, a birthday celebration? What's that about? There's a birthday celebration that's on Facebook. What's that about? That's your event? That's your birthday celebration?
My birthday celebration, you said?
Yeah, there's a flyer that's on your wall.
Yeah, exactly. That's going down July 7th. That's going to be at My Heart Lounge, and it's an all-white affair at that, and I'm celebrating my birthday that night with some friends of mine, and it's going to be a real nice event.
Okay. Now, is that your first all-white event, or?
No. This is actually my first all-white event that I'm doing with AME Music Group. And this is like the first one that I have really put my input on my own to do. Like, you know, I'm not just a sub promoter on this event. So this will be my first. I'm really directing.
Okay. And now you have, I think you said earlier that you have artists that you manage as well. Will any of them be performing at this event?
Yes, I have a new artist that I'm working with. His name is Ever Supreme. He will definitely be performing that night. And he's really talented. He can rap, he can produce, and I think people are really going to like him. This would be the first time that since I've been managing him, people see him perform live. So...
Okay.
It's going to be really, really successful that night.
So it's going to be official.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll see you there.
Yes. Thank you so much.
We actually have another call on the line for you. Well, we're going to bring that call in real fast.
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have Flo on the line?
Flo Rida.
Flo Wade.
It's the way, it's
Flo
the way,
Wade.
Not the rider. It's the way, not the rider. Brother Flo. Seriously though, I mean, you know, I'm a humorous though, you know, I'm a humorous though, but real talk though, you know, this is a good show. Thank you, GQ Palace, for having me on once again. You know, love and entertainment, appreciate that. But back to you, Flo. Seriously, when I ask you any questions, like, you know, how they come to you, you know, and tell you I want to get into the business, all that's true, because these are real thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts going through my mind about getting into one of them. I want to know, when I finally get a chance to see you in person, can you sit down and talk?
I'm open to all of that. You can email me, like anybody who's listening and they want to work with me, they're interested, they can email me, Nathaniel@paradisetheater.net. That's Nathaniel@paradisetheater.net. And we know we chop it up. I'm always open to conversation, and based on
all right, all right. So can you do that? I mean, I don't have a pen and write it down. We just give it to Rich Money. Maybe we can, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, Flo Rida. Thank you, brother.
Flo Wade.
Flo Wade. Flo Wade. Flo Wade. Flo Wade.
So what?
We're
going to toast to that. All right,
you got
it. You know, we're going to get Flo Rida on the show for you, man.
I think that's going to be you too, man.
All right. Well, Flo, what I would like you to do is, you know, get them all your... First, I want you to know, let them know if you have any up-and-coming events going on or anything. You know, you have any up-and-coming events right now? Let them know all the up-and-coming events we have going on.
Okay. Let me sit it down. I have my birthday party July 7th. What else I have? July 20th. Okay. Let me just run through my
iPad
real quick.
Go ahead.
Let me write it down to you. But I'm actually working on events. I'll get the date right now. Okay, it's Friday, July 27th. It's Paid in Full, 80s event. I will be hosting that along with Jules and T. That is brought to you by My Brother's Keeper, Losing Isaiah, Star Studded. And that's going to be really, really hot. Like, it's the biggest 80s event of the year. Special performances. You guys do not want to miss. Again, I'm hosting that. That will be at Perry Bishop Hall. On 138th Street in Harlem, and that's going down a little heavy. So that's something. Music by DJ Ray Z and DJ Knuckles. And it's so much going on that I can't talk about it right here. But big ups to MC Ren for putting me down with that. It's a blessing. And then July 28th at the Paradise, I'm working with DMX Productions on 20 Years of Comedy Live birthday celebration for David Shepard from DMS Productions. That's hosted by Talent and Capone. Special performances. That's going to be really, really nice. The after party is going to be with DJ Tall Guy, and that's a blue, black, and white affair. And I'll be co-hosting that also, so that's going down real heavy. And I have so much more stuff that's in the works. I have so much other things that I'm planning. And I'm just going to give you all the information. Y'all could facebook.com/ that's FlowGotStyle, FlowGotStyle, FlowGotStyle.
Twitter at FlowsWay1. 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 And Instagram, FlowsCharm. That's FlowsCharm. FlowsCharm on Instagram. And anything else, you know, I know everything is FlowsWay, FlowsCharm, but, you know, that's my whole movement. And anything else, people can always feel free to email me, bang@paradisefitness.net. And I'll answer your questions. You can send an email on the subject. You can send an email on the subject, put events. That's all you have to write is pound events, and you will be on my mailing list. I will update you with everything that's going on for the adults, for the kids, the grandmothers. I'm really into the social, especially I'm young too, so I'm really into the social networks. I'm always there. You can always ask me a question or anything.
Now, let me ask you, I just want to ask you real fast, you know, before I let you go. How long do you actually think you will be in a promotional field as being a promoter? Can you see yourself being a promoter, say, 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Definitely. I plan to just expand more and more, and I want to be huge in this industry. So I expect to be doing this for a good amount of time, and to be doing different things. So people will definitely see me. So I'll give myself, because I want to retire when I'm like 60 and have a good, you know, a good empire. So that's my goal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. One more question. How do you balance it all out? Let's say if I wanted to be a promoter, you know, I got my family, I got the artists, and I'm promoting. How do you go about balancing it all out?
Oh, well, it's timing, you know. That's all I can really say. It's timing, and you knowing what you have to do at this time and this place, being here and being there, because it has been a challenge for me, you know, to attend the family function, and I have a huge event going on that night. But for the most part, everyone around me, they're pretty much understanding of my schedule, and but at the end of the day, family always comes, you know, first to me. So it's really timing. It's really about time scheduling yourself and being on top of everything, because it can become overwhelming when you're supposed to be here, you're supposed to be doing this, and you're out, you know, doing this. So timing. That's my best friend.
Okay. Well, you know, I really want to thank you for joining us this evening. You know, it's definitely been an honor having you on. Is there any shout outs you want to give?
Shout out to Forever Supreme. You're really gonna like this guy once you release some good music in September from him. Shout out to On the Rocks Entertainment. That's family, Eric, Shelby, Unique. Shout out to all of my staff at Flowway Management. Shout out to Signature, 7:30, everybody. I really appreciate y'all. And shout out to Lavina, you know. Shout out to you too, Rich Money. Thank you.
No doubt. You know, you're welcome. Anytime. When you ready to get those artists on, just holler at me.
Definitely. I appreciate it. I definitely will.
All right. Flow Away, Dons and Divas. All right. Coming up next, we have the real Untamed Talent. He's an actor. He's an author. He's a poet. And he's a comedian. So we're going to talk to him for, you know, a couple of, you know, a while, and find out what's going on with him. because we actually run out of time. So I want to get, you know, let y'all get to hear what's going on with him, and we're going to try to bring him back on. But stay right there. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
Yeah. Forces join forces. Uh-huh. Let's go. Reminisce on what we had, but I can't help but count the ways you've been there for me, and I don't think you know how much you mean to me, cause I hold you tight, cause it feels so right, cause for me to you, cause all I wanna do is
see the smile on your face, and you know just how much I appreciate it. Of love in the morning, always see you through. What have I done for you? I should pull you close to me. Have you seen how much I love you? Thankful for all that you do. I hope I see the smile on your face. Because you know how much.
Thank you.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back. And with me, I have Untamed Talent, a.k.a. Guerrero. Well,
yes,
welcome to you.
How's everybody doing?
All right, what's going on, bro?
Not much, no. Man. Pardon me for the late, but I just got through performing at a Performance for Peace anti-violence talent showcase. It ran over a little late in Harlem.
Oh, all right. Because, you know, I really want the people to hear the real.
Okay.
You know, because that right there, it was like something real serious that I felt they, you know, that they need to really hear.
Okay.
What I want to ask you real fast is, you know, what was actually, because you are author, you are actor, you are poet, you are comedian, you were host, you know, what was actually the first thing you really wanted to do at first?
The first thing as far as entertainment I wanted to do was acting. I was at 14. I started out, my first job was actually acting. I was a peer educator. We did improvisational theater, which means basically freestyle acting. That was the first thing. And then while I was working there, my supervisor, he did stand-up. Kenny Williams, funny brother, he did stand-up. He actually talked me into trying stand-up, and then everything else is built from there.
Now, you actually started at the Greater Brownsville Youth Council as a peer educator. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, basically what it was a not-for-profit organization started in the New York City housing projects in Brownsville. It was an after-school program, and it educated the general community on health and social issues such as HIV and AIDS, pregnancy, condom negotiation, alternatives to violence, drug use and abuse, and our mode of education was doing improvisational theater. We went to schools, churches, Rikers Island, in the street, it didn't matter, and we educated the people.
Okay. Now, as you being a poet, do you sit and think through every word of every stanza, or do you just write freely and allow the words to flow?
Well, it depends. I've had some pieces that I wrote because of the message that I wanted to get out. I've had some that was inspired by incidents. So it can come from anywhere, but most times I go piece by piece, like stanza by stanza, because when I perform, I don't read. I don't read, so I have to have it on cap.
Okay. Now, when was the first time you started writing? Was there a reason for it?
Writing your poems. When I first started doing poetry, it was I was part of a group. It was called Two Brothers and a Sister, and everyone in the group did poetry except me. I was good with doing stand up, hosting, and all of that. But we went to a show, and this young sister, she did a poem. And it was the first poem that I ever heard, because when I first heard poetry, I'm from the stock. So when I first heard poetry, I thought it was just, you know, blue moons and stars and all of that, which was something I couldn't grab. But she did a poem that I could actually relate to, and it was interesting. So at rehearsal the following week, I wrote a poem. And then not too long after that, I was staying in New York City housing, and actually writing was my therapy while staying in New York City housing, as well as the shelter system.
Now, this is what I need to ask you. Do you care whether or not your words mean something to anyone, or is it a self-serving exercise for you?
Well, it is, you know, you always hope that someone, at least one person, gets what you're doing, because otherwise you could just write it and recite it in your house. I can honestly say, though, that I'm blessed thus far that I've actually have yet to have a show where no one felt me. Actually, the funny thing about it is once I finish this interview, I'm going to do a feature at an open mic. So, yeah. But I basically write my stuff basically because I know that there's people out here that's going through certain things and feeling a certain way, and they really either don't know how to say it, don't have the platform, or the heart to say it. So I speak for them.
Mm. You know. Okay, because I want to get into your poem, The Real for Real.
Okay.
This is deep. Now, what I want to ask you, did you write it from your past? And if so, how did you feel writing this poem?
The Real for Real, like, because I try not to go too personal with my poetry, because of the simple fact I know that it's not for me. But when I wrote that, it was in a real personal space, because I had went to an open mic, and there were a couple of poets there that were, I mean, bottom line, they wasn't keeping it 100 in what they were saying, what they was doing, or how they portrayed themselves. So I went home, and I figured if I'm going to do this, I might as well give people some insight to who I actually am so they don't think that I'm one of these cookie-cutter poets or one of these poets is doing this as a hobby. Like, I actually live this, which was why I started the group Untamed Talent. Shout out to all the members of Untamed Talent, because I knew that there was a place for all kind of poetry.
All right, so you know what? I want to get into that right now.
All right, cool.
All right, Gods and Divas. This is a poem by The Real, titled The Real for Real, and it's deep. So take heed and listen close. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
You won't hear me talking about pushing keys or working for the
Colombians.
You won't
hear me talking about pushing keys or working for the Colombians because I never did it.
You never hear me talk about being on an operating table and
seeing my death and hearing my breath because I never lived it. You may hear me talk about head once or twice because I love it. But you can trust, believe anything you hear from me, I've experienced it. From death to life, from weed to the smell of a burning crack pipe. No, I've never been a crackhead, but we all got one in our family, right? I can tell you what it's like to constantly feel like death is chasing you. From fires in your homes to four car accidents and almost dying of crib death, too. I can tell you what it's like to have to fight the feeling of doing the wrong thing because of the stress and heartache it may bring to your loved ones. I can tell you what it's like to take care of a child just to find out it ain't yours, or denying a child just to find out that it is yours. The aftermath of God taking away your first child and having to be the man of the house because your mom's was gone for a little while. Shit. What you know about candlelight pan bread dinners because you have no choice? What do you know about when bill collectors call for your moms, you finding ways to change your voice? What you know about wearing the same clothes till you can't wear them no more and packing bags at the supermarket till your back and hands are sore? What you know about living in an apartment with over 27 living violations and being one check, one step away from sleeping in a train station? What you know about being 13 and taking care of your mom's business because you got a high education and having to read to her a letter of termination? All this shit I did when I was a kid, serving a life sentence in poverty, wondering and hating how the rich live. You see, I've struggled. I've fought for a better life. And before God turns off my lights, I'm going to know what living comfortable feels like. For real, for real.
Untamed.
Yes, sir.
That right there is so deep. I mean, when I first heard it, it was like, wow. It brought chills because a lot of people don't know what you understand what you actually saying until they
right.
actually sit there and really think about it and listen real close to it.
Right.
You know? Now, I want to ask you, you also are an actor. You was in Paper Chasing with rapper Dwight D.L. Clark. Tell us a little bit about that.
All right. The name of the film is King of Paper Chasing. That main character, hold on a second. We got the EMS truck in the hood. The main character is a rapper, D.L. Clark. Shout out to D.L. from Triple Dame Entertainment. He played a character named Carte Blanche, and basically I play his right-hand henchman, Ugly Man. When the movie takes place, in the very beginning of the movie, I go to jail. So when the movie actually kicks up, I'm actually coming home. And he's no longer the drug dealer that he was when I went in. I did 7 years. When I come home, he wants to be a rapper now. He has a new squad of people now. So basically in this movie, I am everything that is wrong and everything that could be wrong with a splash of comedic timing.
Mm. Okay.
And it's doing pretty good. It's on Netflix. It's on Showtime. And by the end of the summer, we'll be inking a deal that King of Paper Chasing will actually be a television show. So people, please look out for that.
Okay. No doubt. I'm going to definitely keep them informed about that. Now, as you being an actor, what role would you like to play that you haven't played yet?
I would like to do, like an action flick, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times when you do the urban movies, that's all you really get cast for. Shout out to Tiana Small. She's getting ready to do a hood flick called Brooklyn Bred. I'm going to be in that too. But I would like to do like an action flick or maybe something kind of like The Pursuit of Happiness, where I'm actually portraying a movie that's based on a true story, because that's when you really get challenged.
Mm. Wow. we run out of time, so I can't even, you know, get into it like I wanted to. You know,
that's
but
right,
what
I'll be back.
Oh, yeah, we definitely going to have you back because we got some things we got to talk about. But, you know, I want you to give them the information real fast and, you know, give your shout-outs and everything.
All right, cool. Shout-out to the entire Untamed Talent Camp. It's about 10 of us, so I'm not going to try to run down everybody's name, but y'all know who y'all are. Untamed. The website, you can get at us, www.weareuntamedtalent.com. If you want to holler at me on Twitter, you can get at me, RealTalk11233 on Twitter and on Facebook. Just look for So Untamed.
All right. No doubt. We definitely going to get in touch because I definitely want to, you know, have you back on because you still got another deep poem that I need in the head that I can't even get into right now. But I
all
definitely
right,
want to have you back on. We're definitely going to get in touch.
All right, no question. Thanks a lot for having me.
No doubt. The real Dons and Divas. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank you, the listeners. I want to thank the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. I'm your host, Rich Money. Have a safe and blessed weekend. See you next week. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment, where dreams come true. It's butter, baby.
I do it. B.I.G. Sean Dunn.
Good.
That's no girl. C. Breezy.
In the club, jumping, let the party begin. I got him
oh,
like,
shit, goddamn.
VIP, that fast section. I got him like,
shit, goddamn.
And Sade, you can bring on your friends. We got him like,
shit, goddamn.
We got him like,
shit, goddamn, goddamn, goddamn.
Got the show, but just to open the doors. I'm fly, and I know it.
I do it.
Yes, I know it. Girl, you got the fire, you need to break me on. Get closer to my bed, then you take it off. And I'm the flyest nigga in here, knock it off. See me and Sean came for the ladies. It's about to get crazy.
It's about to get crazy.
And it's a lot around the block. All the single ladies you'll be taking by me. Got them like, in the club, jumping, let the party begin. I got him
oh,
like,
shit, goddamn, goddamn.
VIP, that's fast section. I got him like,
shit, goddamn.
And Sade, you can bring on your friends. We got him like,
shit, goddamn.
We got him like,
shit, goddamn. Now I got $100,000 and girls, both legal. Patron chilling on rocks like the bald eagle. I do it. About to get drastic,
yeah.
Ass is like the number one draft pick.
Boy,
I does this shit historically. No wonder why
boy,
they recording
boy,
me. I'm important
boy,
as these important
boy,
drinks that they pour for me. Your wifey is a whore to me. I break her off and send her back like she got a warranty.
Do it,
bust it open, girl. Let me see some. Her and a friend ask what time it is. Threesome,
duh.
It's just me and C Breezy.
Crazy.
Like a bitch, cause the hoe is too easy.
I'm
smoking loudly, boy. Just blew for O's, I'm outie, boy. I got this shit so cloudy, boy. All these hoes up in my trunk, that shit look like a lobby, boy. But you know, you know, you know, you don't know nothing about that boy.
Shit,
goddamn.
Do ya? In the club, jumping, let the party begin. I got him like.